Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, episode 10.
Yes, yeah, 9.
This is episode 10. By now, if you're listening to this, you either are in the live chat and you probably listened to episode 9 live, or you are listening to it off the website and episode 9 would have happened.
I can definitely say that the one person that is here now was not here last week.
The last time, right.
So,
according to your RSS feed, only 8 episodes have come out.
Can you allow me to introduce the show before you start the mockery?
No.
All right. You know where their mic off button is, right?
Okay. Told me forget. Okay, I'm Andrew.
Him up.
This is Andrew.
Are you Andrew?
Yes, I'm Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And tonight we have with us Shannon, otherwise known as the Movie Moxie, who you can find at moviemoxie.blogspot.com. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great and happy to be here.
Okay, so tonight, what I thought would be fun for an open discussion, we discuss like our favorite horror movies, what little there are, and also why horror movies have such a bad rap. Like, everyone just tends to believe horror movies completely suck, which is subjective, I guess. And also we'll go through news, objective? Trailers, and we'll also be reviewing the 1982 subjective? Classic by John Carpenter, The Thing. So let's start off with the open discussion. Like, let's start with Shannon. You're a bit of a horror freak. What are your favorite horror movies?
Well, I think maybe I'll do a little defense here and then get a sense of what horror movies you guys think suck.
Already on the defense.
Because when I was making my list, I have 3 full sheets of paper of selections.
Really?
Like how huge a font did you make your typing? Oh,
10. Area 10. I don't know anyone who. Why would you use something else?
Are these like note cards or?
all right,
go on.
But well, for me, there's like scary movies. When you say favorite scary movies, that's different for me than I think of as good scary movies. Because some movies I find are so scary, or some horror movies are so scary or explicit or crazy or freaky that I don't want to watch them more than once. And if I'm going to make a list of my favorite films of any genre, they have to have some kind of repeat value to it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. But why do you guys think, do all of you think that horror movies suck?
Yeah, pretty much.
No, actually, I enjoy a good horror movie.
Yeah, but yeah. When was the last time you saw a good horror movie?
The Orphanage.
Yeah,
The Orphanage was good. Yeah.
So that's one in the past,
you know,
what, 9 years? That's
the other day that I liked, but maybe it wasn't a big horror, 2 years ago. Big scary movie, but it was not The Visitors, The Strangers. With Liv Tyler.
Yeah, but would you watch that again?
Maybe.
Okay. Does Cloverfield count?
Cloverfield is awesome. That's an action movie.
That's horror, really?
Does
28 Days Later count?
This is the thing, right? With when you talk about like strict horror, most of the movies that I would say I like tend to be movies which are like horror as well as something else. Like, for example, when I was making my list, one movie that I definitely put in there and I have no shame for is Shaun of the Dead. But that plays more on the comedy than the actual horror itself.
Speaking of dead, there is always the classic Evil Dead.
Yeah. No, there is
nothing
classic
about
it.
Shut up.
Well, it does exist, so you can't argue that.
Yeah,
the movie
is bad.
The movie is amazing.
It's bad in a good way, but it's still bad.
however, like what pure horror movie is there that you actually think is good? Like, strict horror. Is there any that you can think of?
Yeah.
Like,
all right,
since you're the expert here, what...
Okay, well,
Evil Christmas.
There's no Evil Christmas. There's Black Christmas. Evil Christmas. There's Treevenge, which is an awesome short about
that
Christmas.
Sounds
it's
so
a
good.
Christmas tree exploitation film.
so it's just that 30 seconds of Evil Dead looped over and over again?
No, it's not. Well, one movie that I would say that's a good movie and it's a strict horror film is The Descent.
Oh, not the new one. The one where they go down into some cave or something?
That's the sequel. There's an original which I haven't even seen it, so I can't tell you. No, I haven't seen it.
Is it a remake? Or
right, the latest one that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, it came out
ago,
maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Was it that far back?
Huh.
Okay.
No, it wasn't that far back. It was, well, 2005.
Yeah,
right.
Something like that. So that's the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a remake?
Andrew thinks it is.
I don't. No. I thought you meant when you said like the one that's coming out. Like I thought you meant the new one, which was the sequel to The Descent.
Well, she couldn't have seen it if it hasn't come out yet. She just said it's a good movie.
Yeah, I think that's a straight up good movie.
Okay, so once again, I fail.
That's okay. It's a good discussion, but that one I think is good. And also The Ring.
Oh, alright. No, I have to step in here. The Ring is nonsense. I'm sorry to have to disagree with you. But the
Why
Ring,
do you think it's
there's nothing good about that movie.
All right. One thing, like you asked me, like why I think horror movies suck in general, and I mean, I definitely probably haven't seen the best of them. But the one thing I can say, which kind of pushed me to the edge of not wanting to watch a horror film ever again, was the huge surge of Japanese horror remakes. And The Ring was the beginning of them. And every one of them, I hated. I hated The Ring. I hated The Grudge. I hated...
Have you seen any of the original films?
I saw Ju-on, which I didn't think was that good anyway. I haven't gone back to watch any of the others.
That one freaked me out. That really freaked me out. A really good one is actually called Pulse. I can't pronounce it. It's Kurosawa. I don't know his first name. That's a Japanese horror film, and I think it was remade, but the original is really good. And it's creepy, but it's got a really good story, and it's a little different. A lot of the Japanese horror films do get remade, and not very well. I would agree with that. But I think the original Ringu and Ring are both really good movies. But I think what you bring up is an interesting point, because I think what happens with horror is that people's expectations are, like, you might see one really good one, and then if you see anything that isn't good, you get thrown off, and people aren't interested. The expectations are so high.
No, I don't think anybody has high expectations for any horror movies that come up.
Really?
They've become such a joke now. It's just about, most of them now are about gore. It's not even really trying to, you know.
There are a lot of gore ones, that's
make
true.
You truly afraid of anything. You're just trying to, you know, it's just attacking your senses. Yeah? Or we're going to make the most vicious, bloody killing you've ever seen.
Yeah, because instead of the 80s and the 70s, no, they have no holds barred. The ratings are used to seeing buckets of goo everywhere.
What did they call, like, Saw, they call Saw torture porn. Like,
something like that. Yeah.
Right, and
actually, like the first Saw.
Shut up.
And we're not going to talk to you anymore.
No.
I think what's happened with me though, like, horror movies used to work when I was a child, and had no sense. You know, when you could legitimately be afraid of things.
Right.
You know, but I mean, as I grew up, even going back to watch movies that I was like legitimately afraid of when I was smaller, when I watch them now, I just look back and I'm like, you never get scared now,
or is that it's not okay to get scared now?
No, but that's not even the case, because The Orphanage, right? I saw that a couple of months ago, and that movie's really good. Like, I was legitimately afraid,
right?
Of small children, even after the movie was done. But I mean, I just don't know, because like, some of the movies that I have on my list, I remember the only reason they're on my list is because when I was smaller, I saw these movies, and for weeks at a time, I was afraid because of the things that I saw in these movies, like Arachnophobia, which is about spiders killing people, which is completely, it's like the stupidest premise I've ever heard in my life. Tremors. I was even afraid
of Tremors. Tremors is not even a horror movie.
I was even afraid of Jurassic Park. Right.
Well, that I can see people being children being afraid of Jurassic Park.
And like the original,
Jurassic Park is scary.
Freddy Krueger and Jason.
I was into that.
But when you watch them, right? And Alien, the first one.
I never saw that till
late.
So
when you watch them, no. all that used to scare me, I look at it and I'm like, this is complete nonsense. This is no way.
But you've seen it before. So, are you, like, do you just remember what happens and then you're like,
no,
okay, well, I'm not going to be
most
scared
because I know
what happened.
I don't remember anything that happened. I just remember that, you know, for a while I was scared because I saw these movies. And when you see them again, I mean, I watch them and there's at no point was I afraid of anything that was going.
Recently we saw the thing, and
I mean, I saw it when I was small and I was afraid. But I saw it recently. I didn't remember anything about the movie except, you know, there was something attacking these people. And at no point in the movie was I afraid of.
Yeah, I was afraid either. But that doesn't, I don't know. I think a horror movie doesn't have to scare you to be a good horror movie, because it can still have that kind of, it can still have that kind of suspense and thing in there. But like, for example, you know what? No, you know what movie scared me? It's not extremely recent, but, you know, a fairly modern movie was The Sixth Sense. The one and only good show.
Well, I think what it didn't so much as scare me, but it just surprised me in the end.
Right, what were you saying, Sean?
Well, that I think The Sixth Sense. I think Shyamalan has done more good movies than just The Sixth Sense.
Oh no,
The
Sixth Sense. There is The Village. I love that one too.
Yeah, The Village was awesome.
See, Andrew, ha!
What the hell is wrong with this? The Village is nonsense.
The Village is great.
I would stick to my guns. It's a brilliant idea.
Hold on,
yeah, it
was
a good idea. It was poorly executed, like all of Shyamalan's movies.
No,
yeah,
I don't think
Lady in Water, thanks. And The Happening.
But that's the thing, though. That's good. Like, because a lot of, as like, what I think expectations really, really do make a difference. Like, you get really high expectations. But then on the other hand, like, with horror movies, like, come on, you know what you're walking into. Previews really give you a sense of what the movie's going to be like, whether it's going to be a slasher film, whether it's going to be a supernatural, spooky film, whether it's going to be a torture porn film. Like, you know what you're walking into. So I find it weird when people are saying, I don't like it. I'm like, well, didn't you have a sense of what it was going to be like?
Yeah,
I mean, all right. Apart from just the violence that's in most of them, most of these stories, you know, are as nonsensical as you can get. Like, none of them even come close to making any form of sense. And usually, like, the dialogue and the characters in these movies are so bad. Like, most of these movies are terrible movies. I mean, there's some good ones out there, and there's people who watch them and enjoy them because, you know, it's a fun time. Like, they enjoy whatever it is that's been put on the screen. Not so much that, you know, the story is good or, you know, it was full of suspense. They just enjoy that genre of movies. But,
well, yeah, horror fans are diehards. Like, the people I know that like horror, they will go see all horror films. Like, and they will buy the ones that you can't see in the theater. And like, for me, I'm a little more discerning in terms of, well, I don't like torture porn stuff, and I don't really like slasher films too much. Like, I like more supernatural horror, but I'll give a lot of different things a shot. But every once in a while, there tends to be something that sort of breaks through, like The Orphanage, or last year with Let the Right One In, that sort of brings horror back to a wider audience.
Yeah, but that wasn't,
and then
I don't really consider that horror.
You see, because we've gotten to the point where we're subcategorizing everything, and it's no longer horror. It's become vampire love story.
No, but not even that. You see, I kind of get what Damon is saying with it not looking like a horror movie, because honestly, I mean, it was a good movie. I loved it to death, but it wasn't scary.
The problem that I have with most horror movies is the same problem that I have with most video game movies. Is that they pick one aspect, right, to blow out in these movies. And it's usually the wrong aspect. It's never the story or, you know, the characters. They pick, you know, oh, this guy kills people for no reason. And they focus on him killing people instead of why. Like, whenever it's time to explain why he's killing people, is always some, they always do it haphazardly. And the characters that are in the movie, and most of them deserve to die, so you don't really feel any sympathy towards.
That's,
so there's no suspense.
You know,
you want most of them to die, and one person is going to stay alive to kill whatever is killing everybody. And you know that. And most of these movies stick to the formula, and the stories are usually so bad, and the dialogue so atrocious that halfway through the movie, You just want to stop. That's what how I feel whenever I watch.
Can I just tell you what was the last movie to actually scare me?
Friday the 13th?
No.
Milk?
No. It was Death Proof. And I'm speaking specifically...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I'm speaking...
That's so... It was a scare... What the hell? She's hanging off of a car. Whoop-de-doo.
I'm speaking specifically of the scene where Zoe Bell is, like, hanging off of the car at 80 miles an hour. And I was scared for her because I had no understanding of how they did this safely. And I was just sitting there at the edge of my seat just, like, wanting to kill someone because they shouldn't kill Zoe.
She's pretty awesome, though. I was really impressed by that. I didn't like the movie in general, but I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. But it's true. Like, films that aren't horror films can scare you. Like, for me, one of the scariest films I find is, like, and I'm not kidding, I can't make it through this film, is 2001.
A Space Odyssey?
Hold on. Can I ask you, how far do you usually get into that movie before you have to stop?
Why?
I'm just curious, like...
I think he wants to know if you get to the talking part. Is that
because honestly, really I sat down and like, I watched this movie this year because I was like, you know what, I'm going to try and force myself to watch all these films that I haven't seen that people say, you know, if you want to like pretend like you know anything about movies, you should see these films. And I was like, all right, Kubrick time, 2001. And I so wanted to kill that movie because it made no sense until the 45th minute when they actually had people come in. And the entire of the time with the monkeys, I was sitting there wondering whether I had got the correct movie or not.
You mean like
yeah, no, I wasn't scared about that part. I make it, I think, probably about... The best I've gotten is to about 5 or 10 minutes before the end. And then I just freak out. Like, I just like can't handle it. You know, and it's not a horror movie.
It's a horrible movie.
That shows
no, it's not a horrible movie. I don't think you can say that. You know, it's fair if you didn't like it.
Alright, you see, the thing is, like, I had this conversation before with someone, like, Kubrick, because I mentioned on Twitter how I don't like Kubrick, and that's another thing that has sent the internet into rage over me. Mm-hmm. Apparently I do this a lot. Like, I find it highly boring, all of these shots that Kubrick does, where he just has the camera moving slowly into the scene. The long tracking shots. It just bores me to tears. And then, I mean, with 2001, I have to admit, like, as soon as you hit the spaceship and you get people, the story gets 5 billion times better. And I can stick with that. However, the fact that I had to sit through 50 minutes of monkeys jumping up and down drove me insane and made me never to want to watch this movie again.
Yeah, I think you're in good company with that opinion. You know, I don't think a lot of people really love that part of the film. But I don't know.
Anyways, like,
do we want to go through the ones that we like? I think you guys have had a fair shot at bashing.
Since we've gone through our bashing of horror, let's at least talk about a few that we actually do like. I mean, I know around the table, all of us love Let the Right One In from last year.
Yes, sir.
Douglas and I know Douglas and I love Evil Dead. I'm not sure about Damien. He says no.
No, I mean, the movie's bad. It's fun. The movie's bad.
But like, all right, Shannon, what are some of your favorite horror films?
Please leave The Ring off the list, please. Please.
Well, how many are we doing?
Just list off what you like. If I were to ask you,
just
to
talk
list
really
five,
fast until you tell me to stop.
If someone who had never seen a horror film asked you to list 5 movies that they had to see, what would they be?
No,
that's
give her
not
10.
What you said
give
we were
going
to talk about.
You see, you went and made me have to like give you a like.
You know what? Just don't stop until he gets angry.
Five horror movies that you would have to see. In no particular order. Oh well, top one, The Changeling.
The Clint Eastwood Changeling?
No. It's a Canadian film.
Oh, okay.
We just released a huge sigh because we were wondering what the hell you were talking about.
It's a 1980s film, and it's more of a a ghost haunted house type story with George C. Scott in it. And it's one that's so scary that when I watched it a second time, I was like, what was I thinking? Because it is freaking awesome, but it's very, very scary.
Man, 80s movies are just way better than anything else, aren't they?
What?
80s movies are just awesome.
Yeah.
You think that
so if people just had no idea what horror movies were, I would definitely suggest that. I would suggest The Others.
Ooh, I like that one. That's with Nicole Kidman, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I love that one.
Yeah, that's another one that I really like.
One that I wouldn't say that I liked, but it's just one of those that goes on the list, is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original.
Oh, okay. I was about to ask which one.
Well, it has to be the original. Come on.
The second one's awful. Like, I couldn't even make it through. I could barely make it through the original. It was that. It was a challenge. It was a challenge. I would say the original Friday the 13th.
Quick question. I'm actually going to show my lack of intelligence here. Was the first scene from the new one actually just cut and paste from the first one?
Okay. Yeah.
Andrew's nodding at me. Yeah.
Because I had this conversation with her a couple nights ago.
Because I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. So that's we should have pre-said that though. It's a big spoiler, but yeah.
No, it's not really a spoiler. I mean, it's the first 5 seconds of the film.
It's a.
Yeah, but it's the Friday last the 5 seconds of the original.
Oh, you see, I haven't seen the original, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Jason so doesn't really die.
What are we spoiling here?
You haven't seen they either.
Made like a million of these.
Wait, hang on. He's so you're telling me that in Jason Goes to Space, he wasn't there?
He's been to hell.
He was actually there?
He's
what?
Been to space.
Jason gets
he
around.
He met Jesus. Still not dead.
Okay.
All right, Shannon, continue. Damien has finished his rant.
Okay, so one that's a bit of an older one that I would say is Eyes Without a Face. And this is 1960s black and white French film, and it is freaky. It's sort of more of a mad scientist type of film, and more of a drama, but it's pretty scary. So,
okay, yeah,
have any of you seen that?
No, but I'm looking at a poster here, and I want to...
And
yeah,
and the title is all in French, so I won't bother to say it because
I don't even know if I can say what the French title is actually.
What the
face without eyes?
Face without an eyes? Yeah. Oh no. Les yeux sans visage.
Okay. I'm sorry if like I restricted you to five, but are there any others like you think are must watch?
Yeah, those are five that I say that, like, to give you sort of, like, an array of different kinds of horror, but there's tons of great horror films, like, The Haunting is one that I really like. It's the 1963 version. That's the sort of haunted house type one. They remade it in 99, and it was pretty awful.
Owen Wilson in a movie, no.
Oh, yeah, that one. Catherine Zeta-Jones was in it, too. I remember that.
Yeah, she had some great clothes, but other than that, it wasn't really...
Yeah.
Wasn't as much. Nightmare on Elm Street is kind of fun in a campy sense.
Yeah. I enjoyed the first one, I have to say.
I rewatched that one recently, and I was like, that wasn't very scary, but it was pretty funny. An American Werewolf in London.
In London?
Yeah, I saw that.
The original one.
Yeah, I've seen
I've heard I've heard good things about the original. I haven't watched it yet.
I don't really think it's that scary.
It's a bit of an... Like, it's... In a sense, it's kind of like Evil Dead, that it's not, like, straight-up horror. There's definitely comedic moments. It's really sort of off-kilter. And, but it's got some really interesting stuff going on there. And the effects are really good, considering the time. And it is... I did think it was scary. I rewatched it last year, and I was like, wow, that was pretty freaky. Mm-hmm. Well, after that, I would actually go to my sort of favorites list.
Oh, okay. But before you get to that, like, I'd like to give Douglas and Damien a little chance to chime in with what they think, like, are their favorite horror films.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
My favorite horror films. Okay.
You know, we're about to show our incompetence.
What are my favorite horror films? I mean, I always had a place in my heart for Friday. Not Friday.
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger. Thank you.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Just because that was one of the earliest ones I ever saw. I used to watch it when I was, you know, yay high.
Before we were old enough to understand what movies were seeing.
Yeah. Another one that I hold close and dear is Children of the Corn. Which,
good pick.
Yeah. that, again, I watched when I was really young and just had nightmares of, you know, cornfields every night. I really, really, really love, and I think I've said this already, 28 Days Later. Sixth Sense.
Maybe right one.
Yeah, but, you know.
We already kind of said that.
It was said that already. But at the same time, is it really horror? I mean, it has vampires, but, you know, they don't do any scary things.
Any excuse to mention that movie.
It's more of... I thought it was more of a relationship picture than anything else. But I guess we can lump it in the whole horror, you know, science fiction section. Sure. What else is there? Evil Dead. Oh, my goodness. How can I forget? Evil Dead 1, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness.
But I don't think Army of Darkness should really count.
Yeah, it doesn't really count, does it? It's more of a comedy.
Yeah, that's like the comedy to the max.
Yeah, it really was. What else? What's a good one? I don't know. Are there any new good ones? Andrew? Do you think? Oh, Orphanage. But we've said that already. And I didn't mind the one that I saw just the other night with Liv Tyler.
The Thing?
The Strangers.
Liv Tyler was in The Thing?
Any movie with Joanna Newsom on the soundtrack? Amazing.
Okay. You're not allowed to read what's on my list.
I'm not allowed to read what's on your list? Okay, I won't. But I did like Shaun of the Dead. Ooh, I love The Shining.
So basically, I have nothing to talk about, okay? So let's just get my list out of the way. I was just like mocking up a short list of favorites, and I realized Evil Dead is one of them. The Orphanage is one of them. There's The Shining, which is possibly my favorite Kubrick movie. The only other Kubrick movie I like really is Full Metal Jacket.
Clockwork Orange.
No. Shaun of the Dead. Grindhouse, if everyone will allow me that. and from when I was at Lawrence, I took a course on German film, and I was forced to watch the original Nosferatu, the 1922 film. I love that movie.
I haven't seen that one. That's on my list, actually.
It's amazing. And I mean, another great film from that class that I had to watch, I can't remember the entire name, but it's Dr. Caligari.
The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Yes. That's a I love fantastic that.
That was actually the first movie that they played in class, and that was the movie that made me sign up for that class.
That's awesome.
So those are just, you know, a short list that I can think of right off the bat as to horror movies I love.
What about, you know, Donkey Punch or Quarantine or, you know, anything like that, Andrew?
Quarantine.
Quarantine was awful, I'm sorry.
And it was made even more awful by the experience of sitting in that theater having 10 people talk around me with the woman with the big band. So I was kind of afraid to tell the woman to shut up. Because she had her boyfriend, which looked like he was 10 times thicker than any person I had seen.
He's probably slow. You could have probably slapped her.
Slapping around. Running something.
But then you see, even if I shut her up, there were 9 other people to shut up in the room. So I just hung my head and realized I was going to hate this movie no matter what.
That's why you need to bring guns into theaters.
No, I do not condone such things.
But I condone it.
All right, so Damien, what are some of
Do you guys really want to ask me?
Yes,
let's do it.
Oh yeah, can I tell you, like, after the last episode 8 went up, Simon actually...
Oh wait, sorry, hang on. Did you just say that episode 8 was the last episode?
Yes.
So we're at 9. So are we... Wait, I thought we were at 10.
After the last episode went up on the site, I think it was Simon, it might have been Jason, one of them was asking Damien to list his favorite movies because he thinks you hate so many movies that he'd like to know what you actually like.
Ooh.
I have to do this now?
No. I was just letting you know. I think we'll probably tack that on at the end of the show, but just...
Sure. I love a lot of stuff, but that's besides what.
Rambo.
Yeah. Oh. Oh. Right.
Wait. Hey, horror movies. Well, hang on. Does Predator count as a horror movie?
No.
But I love that movie.
No, I would disagree. I'd say it is a horror movie.
Thank yes. It's a Predator.
Can I ask what qualifies Predator as a horror movie, Shannon?
It's a monster movie and an alien movie.
Exactly. And, speaking of alien and you movies, didn't see Alien is another awesome movie.
Alien and Aliens.
You didn't see the monster in Predator till like 3/4 of the way through, right? It was just going
through.
You
know what's another good horror movie? You know what's another wonderful horror movie? Now that you say, you know, not seeing the monster halfway through the movie. Jaws. You bastard.
Cloverfield.
Yeah. All right. Cloverfield is a monster movie. It's also, it's more than just a monster movie.
Right, yeah, so. It is. It's got everything. The
so,
gamut of
movies that...
Terminator. Does Terminator count?
Sure. Why not?
I'm like looking at my DVD shelf now.
At this point, anything can count. movies that scared me. Again, I was a child, so I'm, you know, thinking back to movies that actually did scare me. So we've, like, recently, you know, there's like The Orphanage and whatever, but we've spoken about those. So there's Tremors. As in, I didn't come off my veranda for like a week.
You mean kind of like how Douglas didn't go in the swimming pool for a month because of Jaws?
Right. Man, you need to understand it. As in, like, my uncle had to take me from the veranda to the car.
But Damien, you never thought to yourself, what if my uncle gets caught?
Yeah, no, because I'd run. Right? It would be busy with him. And I'd head back to the veranda. Never mind, it could come through the veranda. I felt safe inside the house for some strange reason.
Did you ever go on the roof like they did in the movie?
No, because the Tremors never came. So there's Tremors. Like, I was really, like, legitimately afraid of Tremors.
Alex will never look at you the same way again.
True. Arachnophobia, again, the spiders killing people. Small children. Because you see large spiders in the garden, and then you watch a movie where the spider's killing people. Yeah. Yeah. Not so much. Not that fun. Jurassic Park, we saw that. Like, they took me after graduation to watch that movie. Which is not a prison because I was traumatized. All loud noises scared me for a while. It's kind of crazy. Like Freddy Krueger and Jason. I mean, when I was small, like, and all of the movies that they told me not to watch because I wouldn't be able to sleep. As the first movie, like, the second they're not there, you run to the VCR, you put in the tape. You and your other silly friends sit down and you scare the hell out of each other for no reason at all. I mean, looking back, none of these movies scare me now. That's because I'm a man and I have balls. And my balls prevent me from being scared.
When you bought the pants, you gave in the vagina. Exactly. Right?
Yes. I traded in the vagina for some pants. The pants came with balls.
I think you're scared of being scared.
No, because again, I saw The Orphanage. I sat down, watched out with my mother, and like we legitimately hated small children and didn't want them anywhere near us. For a good week or so. Yeah.
Talking about small children, I watched Little Children for the first time the other day, by the way.
So awesome.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
And you waited, what, 3 years? Good work. Good work, Andy.
Anyways, going on.
I mean, outside of that, I don't know. I don't really watch a lot of horror movies. I mean, especially the recent crop. I think that's why, like, maybe I'd have incentive to go back and watch the old ones. If any of the new ones that you keep seeing were any good. I mean, when you look at like the scores for these movies after they come out, like the Grudge and what was the one with Jessica Alba, The Eye,
yeah.
And
oh gosh,
Mirrors,
that was awful.
And even the ones that have decent
Mirrors
enough trailers
was so painful.
Right, even though because I
so I was right not to watch.
Yes,
okay.
Because I watch any trailer that comes out, and when the horror movies. Like, when some of them make, like, decent trailers, but then when you see the scores that people give them, like, nobody hate, I mean, a group of people can just hate a movie for no reason. And when you sit down and watch them, you understand why. I just have no incentive to watch horror movies anymore. I don't know. Like, if, like, things like the Let the Right One In, you know, like the subgenres. Like, if it's good enough, like, word of mouth will travel and I'll give it a look. But most of what I'm seeing coming out now just looks bad.
Well, there's definitely a higher volume, and the remake,
right,
you know, is just crazy.
And there are,
like, I'm actually tracking it this year, and so far we've only had like 20% of the horror movies that have come out have been original films.
Yeah, that's so true. A lot of the horror films are remade. But you know, it was a good horror movie. I Am Again. Well, is it a horror movie? What? I don't know.
Name it's it, got and then we can tell you.
It's Near Dark with Bill Paxton. And
you've been telling me to watch this.
That's
movie.
On my list. I'm gonna watch it next week.
Movie. Oh, you haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, watch it. It's amazing.
Like John Carpenter's Vampires. Would that be a horror movie?
Oh God. That got me off John Carpenter. I am like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm gonna watch another Carpenter film, because I loved a lot of stuff, but that, I almost left the theater. I was like, this is crap.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it was Showtime that used to have the Masters of Horror.
Yeah, Showtime did that.
And the Tales of the Crypt, right, on HBO.
And I used to watch it and go, this is nonsense. Like, that's all that kept playing in my head. Who comes up with this crap?
and talking about stuff on HBO, there was also that amazing show last year.
True Blood. Yeah, but
that was great.
That is horror. I am leaving this podcast.
Then again, you know what? According to the criteria that we've put forth tonight in our episode, it is horror. Because they're vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
All
right.
So, it's horror.
And then Twilight is also horror.
Yes, it is. I was scared when I finished. Yes. I was
and
sweating.
That's another movie reason why you think horror sucks.
And AI is definitely horror.
AI is horror.
The entire movie.
Yeah.
All right. I think
it's sci-fi.
Kind
of,
that's the last movie that scared me. There's no way this movie can be that bad.
No, I think me.
Oh my God, it keeps getting worse.
I think me, Dave, did that one for me.
No. There's no.
Did you watch Twilight, Andrew?
I still haven't watched it.
Okay, that's why.
Did you see
you
AI?
You haven't surprised me, Dave. Trust me. Twilight, it's...
Have you seen Meet Dave? Have you had to sit in a theater for 90 minutes wondering why people are laughing?
Why did you go to Meet Dave?
We got in for free and it was for the TV show.
Yeah, we were shooting some pilot that never got off the ground.
But for some reason, I didn't get a free pass. I don't know why.
But we spared you from watching Meet Dave, son.
And we saw Get Smart, which made Get Smart look so much better because we saw Meet Dave on the same night.
Anything, well, except AI and the Happening.
It was pretty good, but I have to say I enjoyed Twilight. I have to stick up for Twilight. I don't. It's pretty on the verge of not really being a horror movie, but
it's all teen girls. Mm-hmm. That's all that movie is. But at the same time, I read the books and I didn't mind them. Like every time I turned a page, I said, "Oh my goodness, this is such, you know, teen girl fluff and crap." But I had to turn the page. Like it really did keep me. However, that movie was awful. The editing seemed forced again, just like our Spaltra person, except this person is supposed to be much better at directing. I didn't like it at all.
Can I tell you, I read some news. What was it that Drew Barrymore might be directing
true,
one of the films?
I saw that one. Fanning is in
for the third film,
what
or
else?
The second, is it?
Fanning's in for the second
the
film.
The second film. Yeah. There's been a ton of Twilight trilogy news, like crazy.
Yeah,
there actually was just something today. I don't remember the director, but they said that it might be a horror director for the third one. I think that Drew Barrymore was rumor. Definitely, you know, they either just started or haven't started shooting the second one, and it's coming out this year. So that's apparently why the original director didn't stay on, is that she actually wanted to, you know, wait till they had a good script and pace it out and really feel the film before just going go go go. Yeah. You know,
she did such a good job with the first one.
Well, have you seen 13?
Yes, I have, and I thought that was crap too. Sorry.
Really?
Yes,
oh my goodness.
Again,
wow. Actually, that's a horror movie. That's a horror movie in a whole other kind of way.
Well, I don't know. I have to say that I saw it... How long ago did I see it? I think it had just come out. When did it come out? 2000 and probably really? 3 was when I saw it. And I guess I wasn't as, you know, into film and movies as I am now. So maybe I can watch it now and be like, oh, that's good. You know, I like this and I like that. But it really did not entertain me that night.
The like one movie I saw a couple months in Christmas was Midnight Meat Train.
I haven't seen that. Right.
Oh! Just to let you guys really hold on. Just to let you guys know, it's the director of The Orphanage who's going to be doing Twilight.
I thought that was a rumor.
You guys are going to go have to see it now.
I think that's a rumor though. I don't think that was actually confirmed. I think that's still a rumor. But even if the director of The Orphanage made Twilight, I still wouldn't see it. Because Twilight is nonsense. but back to Midnight Meat Train. Like, that is another...
back to a real movie, right?
Torture porn movie. And, I mean, the horror movies that go down that road, they really should stop calling them horror movies. Because there's nothing really scary about... Like, they just... kill people in more and more graphic ways.
I actually liked Midnight Meat Train.
Killing people is scary,
though. Hold on,
yeah,
what
but
was
were
that?
You scared?
Well, no, I wasn't really
exactly
scared.
So what kind of... I mean, it's not horror. If you're not scared, if at no point you go, even a small jump scare, I mean, then, like, honestly, what's the point? There's just... He just went through and killed a lot of people in... And it's just... I could just see them in like the meetings beforehand, in the production meetings. They're like, we need to kill this guy, and we've already gone through this.
Yeah, but that formula, like, come on, like Midnight Meat Train. Did you think it was going to be something else? Like, if you watch the trailers and you said that you do,
but at least do something kind of sort of scary. Pretend that it's a horror movie.
Well, I think that in general, people find the concept of a serial killer or the idea of being killed for no reason in public with a cleaver, I think in general people would find that scary. I think it's not the general consensus that people would be like, oh yeah, whatever.
I guess.
maybe it's just me. Maybe everybody has, you know, their...
Damon, your word.
Yeah, but all the films that you said that you found scary were more, like, about creatures or something like that. So, obviously, like, sort of a menacing person isn't scary to you. So, that makes sense, that it wouldn't connect.
Plus, like, most of those movies were... I saw them when I was, like, 10, so it's not...
Yeah, and there's something about that too. Like, you know, you can see a scary film when you're young, and even watching it later, if you had first seen it when you were older, you probably wouldn't have any connection to it. Be like, okay, yeah, whatever. But because you have the memory of seeing it and being scared, that can, I find with me, that can influence it, and I'll still be scared. Not necessarily... you know, my thinking mind, you know, watching this and being, okay, I understand this and analyzing it or whatever. I have the memory of being 10 and being like...
The nostalgia factor. It gets you every time.
Yeah. Nostalgia of fear.
Andrew, that's not funny.
Oh,
just
come
to
on.
Let you know.
So... I think we can just really wrap up this conversation about horror. It's a huge...
Okay.
It's I think it falls into the same category as comedy, where you have to love it in order to like horror films.
Yeah.
You either get it or you don't. It's not like other genres like drama, where you can like some drama and not all drama.
I like some horror and not all horror.
No, but you like a very selective horror. So it's not like... If I told you there was a horror film, you would think to yourself, there's a chance of this being good. No, you think this movie's probably crap. And then you then have to have your mind changed to it might just be good because Douglas. Someone told you it's good.
No. Douglas. I mean, if I see the trailer and it looks like every other horror movie that was bad, then yes. But if I see the trailer and it looks, you know,
but isn't this what we've been getting to?
Then but outside of but if I say you know, like I throw out some random name like Midnight Star, and you're like, what kind of? I say Midnight Star is awesome. And you're like, what kind of movie is that? It's a horror movie, right? You go. Your brain would be like, horror movie. I don't know about it.
What are you talking about?
Horror movie.
I think it's an important point.
You go, I don't know. I might have to look into this. It's the truth. We hear horror and immediately, like, our minds have to, like what Andrew said, our minds definitely have to be changed once we hear that this is a horror movie.
Right, so it's a hard sell. It's not a soft sell.
Except for people who actually like horror, like you, who you just hear the movie's a horror movie, you're at the gate already. Until you hear otherwise.
Not me. I would look into it a little bit. There are some things I won't see. Like, I'm not going to go see The Last House on the Left, because that's
I was just going to ask you about it. Like, I saw that trailer and I...
It's too rough.
Actually,
that's
the trailer looks kind of good. I have to tell you. I know it's going to be crap, but the trailer looks nice.
Like
the trailer looks nice.
Funny Games, was that a horror movie?
Games was a commentary. I think.
What did you think of that movie, by the way?
Because I liked it, but not really in a scary way. It was messed up, but not really scary. I don't know.
Right.
But I enjoyed that movie.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that they enjoyed Funny Games.
I'm kinda,
it's a unique perspective.
Like I remember when I watched Funny Games, I was like, is that it?
I actually didn't mind Funny Games. I wasn't too certain on that part that everybody else is not too certain on. But
I haven't seen it, so I'm like, okay.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Oh, okay. Sorry. One thing I should say is the other day I was going through old trailers and I saw the trailer again for Funny Games, which is an amazing trailer. And I told myself I'm going to rewatch this movie just to see if I really do like it or I don't. So I'll report back on that one.
You better. It seemed like you wanted to close this off. Can I go through quickly my favorite scary movies?
Sure.
Cool. All right, I'll just do it quickly. Some of them we've already talked about a little bit. One is Ginger Snaps. This is another Canadian movie, but it's a really interesting take on it's a werewolf film, but they tie it into adolescent girls sort of growing up, which is an awesome spin on a horror movie, in my opinion.
So have to snap the ginger? Is that it?
Ginger snaps. So that's it was pretty innovative. And also Night Watch, which is a bit of a stretch to say as a horror movie. Have any of you guys seen that?
I think I have.
Night Watch? In that one?
There's Day Watch too, right?
No, Daywatch and Daywatch. Yeah, they're Russian films.
Yeah, I saw those movies.
And is Daywatch the really, like, fancy...
I saw that one. We had it at one point, but, like, I watched 10 minutes and couldn't watch that to give it back to the rental shop.
No. I saw the full thing, and it was okay. But not Nightwatch. I didn't watch Nightwatch, though.
So I like Nightwatch a lot better. For me, it really created a completely understandable yet foreign world. Like, I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea how this world works, and like, there's people that are like psychics or shapeshifters or who knows, but it just made sense.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that one was really beautiful. And it's the same director as Wanted.
Wanted, right.
Wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean the guy who fucked up one of an amazing movie. Comic book?
Hey, fuck you and your comic books.
Okay, so maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that.
don't pay no attention to Andrew.
The next one I have on my list is, we already talked about, is Jaws. Classic scary movie. Also, The Mist, which came out 2 years ago.
Everybody likes that one. Is it really that good?
Yeah,
should I be watching it?
I've heard horror fans like it, but a couple of my friends who aren't huge horror fans don't like it.
It's really, for me, one of the things that's great about it is it's actually a really good story and is great characters, and it's more, it's a bit more, it has that sort of study of human nature kind of thing going on, which makes it a little bit deeper than just sort of like, roar, monsters, you know.
Wait, could you do that sound effect again? I don't think we got that properly.
Sorry.
That would now be the opening.
Yeah, that's what we started in this
movie. Yes!
Roar, monsters.
Roar.
This is awesome. Thanks for that show.
No, oh my god.
We'd all
okay.
do it at the same time, yeah. And it would be like a chorus remix. Of roars.
Yeah, we remix. I know I have a DJ friend who can sound this.
It'll be the edit sound. Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, so let me. Okay. Alright, the next one on the list I have, we've talked about before, 28 Days Later.
Yes. Danny Boyle.
That scared me so much. I almost, like, I was at the theater by myself, which I was like, what am I doing?
Really?
And then, yeah. Well, I go to the theater by myself all the time, but it just hit me that I'm like, this is a really scary movie. Nice. And I'm like one of three people here. And I was holding my tea, and I almost like flung it across the room. I was nice. So scared.
Can I ask you, what do you think of the sequel, 28 Weeks?
Oh, I thought it was pretty dreadful.
Yay!
I think I actually gave it away, which I'm not. I don't usually it? Do.
I actually, you know what? I've told you this, Andra. I've done that with two movies before.
He did it with Pi and Taxi Driver.
Oh my god!
I know.
I know. I've bought Pi and it's mine, and I love it. I'm going to. I have to rewatch Taxi Driver to see if I'm going to buy it.
I've given away a lot of DVDs.
Your entire just, Dragon Ball.
Yeah, it's just happened to be one. One thing.
Hi.
Like, oh, 40 DVDs of nonsense.
But I have to say, though, 28 Days Later, I love it. Yeah. I think it's a wonderful movie. It never scared me at all. I didn't think it was
really?
Like a scary
when
movie.
I first watched
Resident
it
Evil.
Me.
Wait, no.
When I first watched 28 Days Later, it scared me, which means it should probably end up on my list of favorite horror films, because it scared me.
Exactly.
That would make sense.
But hang on, Shannon, what do you think is the scariest movie ever? Or at least the scariest movie you've ever watched?
Funny you should say that, because I think, actually, it's a tie between The Changeling, the Canadian one, and the next one I was going to say, which is The Shining.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, that, holy crap. Yeah. That's a scary movie.
Yeah, I need to
For me, that one's, it's a lot about the imagery.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's messed up.
And can I tell you, just as a side note, I loved every time while I watched Spaced, anytime they reference The Shining.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen Spaced?
You need to watch Spaced.
No. They're showing it here, I think, in its entirety in one day at the theater, and it's going to be introduced
do they
by
do those kinds
Edgar
of
Wright.
Things?
Wait, it's going to be introduced by who?
Edgar Wright.
Andrew, take it. No. Go.
No, I'm sure Kerb will get her own tweet.
No, it's a show.
Never.
It's a show.
Don't I need it.
He's apparently filming something in Toronto, so they're doing
this
series called The Right Stuff.
Is that Scott Pilgrim he's filming up there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So he curated a series of films at one of the local theaters, and one day they're going to do all of Spaced. So
you have to go. I'm just letting you
Well, I was like, you know, I could buy the DVD set for like, what, 40, 50 bucks? Or I could like watch them all for 10 bucks. Like,
exactly. But what you should really do is both.
What I have to say, honestly,
just
is
both.
That Space DVD is one of my favorite DVDs I bought last year. Like, stop telling me to fuck off. Douglas, stop it.
I'm making nasty faces at him because he bought it before me.
What? Like, honestly, it is an amazing DVD set. It has two sets of commentaries, which I have listened to both. I watched the entire series one day, then I watched it again with the first set of commentaries, then I watched it the next day with the next set of commentaries.
Wow.
It was that's good.
That's You're making crazy. Douglas cry. Could you stop that?
Andrew, I feel pain.
So that's on my list. moving on.
All of these laughter is coming from like physical things, so everyone listening is
like, you guys have to have a video camera set because it's not.
And
there.
You wouldn't have gotten it either because you haven't seen it, but you know it's awesome. Anyways, I think we can kind of like. Is there anything else on your list you'd like to mention before we wrap up?
Yeah, I'll just name the titles then. The last Wreck, which is what Quarantine was based on.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a far superior film. Poltergeist.
Oh yeah, I love that movie. Yeah.
And the last but not least is Alien.
Yep, yep. There you go.
That's my favorite scary movie. So Red Room. That's my list.
That's The Shining.
Yeah. That's The Shining.
Can I tell you, to this day my mother freaks out anytime I say Red Room because she thinks it's like the ultimate dirty word.
Yeah. My brother's not allowed to say the line from 2010.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys know that one?
Well, you see, I've seen it, but I've blurred it all out of my mind.
Yeah, it's about the monolith. So that's sort of like not telling the punchline. But I'm like, I actually don't want to hear myself say it.
Say it, please.
Come on.
What is it now? My God, they're full of stars. Yeah, I know. Out of context, it doesn't sound really scary.
That would be so lame.
That was a huge letdown.
Yeah, that's going into the intro.
Sorry. We'll just replay the monster sound.
All right, so... that's our conversation on horror movies. I don't really think I can summarize that in anything or conclude anything.
We achieve nothing.
We conclude that horror movies are awesome, except when they're not.
Yeah, that sounds just
that's
about right.
Good.
All the logics were, you know, satisfied. Now let's move into a couple news items that happened over the week. Anthony, I feel really odd doing this podcast because it's been so long. It feels like it's been so long since we did an episode.
Yeah.
All right, the first one that came up this week is that Kevin Smith is apparently going to be directing the first film that he hasn't written, which will be A Couple of Dicks, starring Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan. The question I really wanted to ask is, do you think Kevin Smith will... I mean, we all hated Zack and Miri.
No.
I wouldn't say hated.
I didn't
disappointed,
see it.
Yes. Not hated.
All right, disappointed, right?
It wasn't his best, but...
And I mean, I love Kevin Smith films, but mainly for the dialogue. Do you think that his directing talent alone will see this movie through?
Maybe. Maybe
especially
not.
Since he hasn't written it.
Who wrote it?
Of course, Andrew doesn't know this.
Yes. Oh, actually, you know what? I think I looked it up.
Research.
Who does that kind of thing?
Cullen. Rob Cullen. Mark and Rob Cullen.
And of course, Andrew, you know exactly what they've done before, correct?
I mean, I've seen so many movies from
these.
I looked them up and I don't think I recognize anything.
Mark Cullen, he did a lot of TV stuff. He did Heist, Lucky, Las Vegas. While Rob Cullen, he was in the same boat. So they really write the same stuff together. It's mostly TV episodes. A movie here which I don't know. No, that's TV, sorry. They haven't done any films as far as I can tell.
Untested.
That's interesting.
So like, given that the script is half feasible, like half decent, do you think Kevin Smith as a director alone can see this through to make it a good movie?
Well, I don't think people make movies alone, right? I think Kevin Smith could do it. It's like, 'cause it's a cop comedy, right?
I don't even know if it's a comedy. We don't really even know anything other than...
Tracy Morgan's it's a comedy.
It's a comedy.
And Bruce Willis. That's what it has on IMDb.
Yeah, Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan. Do you think...
You know...
Okay, yeah.
Didn't De Niro and Eddie Murphy made this movie already?
What's that it movie? Did really well back then, too.
Yeah, it was kind of shitty.
Wait, what movie are you talking about?
Showtime.
Oh.
Didn't you watch Showtime?
I was going to bring up Lethal Weapon.
What?
Or
Lethal Weapon
Hot
is
Fuzz.
Good.
Yes, and no, Eddie Murphy wasn't in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
No,
Chris
but my
Rock
point
was
is...
in Lethal Weapon.
No, he was not.
Four.
Yeah, that's not Lethal Weapon.
No, I was asking if you think they're trying to emulate the Lethal Weapon style.
With Tracy Morgan, well, no.
Okay, so I'm not very familiar with Tracy Morgan. What has he done? Like,
30 Rock. That's the only thing.
Okay, he's a big SNL guy, right? He started out in SNL and then
stand-up.
Yeah, stand-up as well. And then he went to his own show. He got the Tracy Morgan Show, which was awful and lasted maybe 5 episodes. But then he's gotten really lucky with this whole Tina Fey / 30 Rock thing, which I actually love him in, and I watch religiously. I'm probably 4 episodes behind, but it will get watched.
What do you guys think about it being him being paired with Bruce Willis?
I think it could work. Well, I love Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is a funny dude when he wants to be. Tracy Morgan as well apparently can be funny because he's great in 30 Rock.
He's done stand-ups that I've seen and they're legitimately funny.
But what's odd is he can't talk properly at all, ever.
Being good at stand-up doesn't really
It doesn't translate into acting all the time. For example,
Seinfeld, Dane Cook, Chris Rock, Chris Tucker.
But you know what? I'll wait for a trailer. I'll wait to see what happens. It could be good. It could be bad. I'll have to say Kevin Smith is a plus. Bruce Willis is a plus. Tracy Morgan is kind of like a neutral aspect there. So, you know.
I mean, it's a comedy.
That sounds fair.
It's not like they need, you know, you need long tracking shots.
Right,
there'll be a wizard behind the camera to make the comedy pull itself off. It's a comedy. You can just point, to the center.
Point and shoot, right?
Guys, make the funny happen. As long as the funny is captured on video.
Make the funny happen.
Right? Were you saying something, Shannon?
No, I was just saying make the funny happen. That's awesome.
So, yeah, we wait for the trailer. Hopefully it's good.
Okay,
We saw Bruce Willis in What Just Happened.
I just watched that this weekend. I love that movie. It's hilarious.
Bruce Willis is stellar in that movie.
Can I tell you, Bruce Willis is great whenever he has to play a comedic role.
When he plays himself. Yeah. When he plays Bruce Willis in a movie.
I can't tell you, one of my favorite movies to watch him in as a comedic role was Blind Date.
That is so good! Have you ever seen that?
Blind Date.
It's from like the 80s. It was directed by...
it was his first movie,
First movie, directed by Pink Panther Man. Jeez.
Blake Edwards.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. What's the name of the guy? Why can't I remember it?
Blake Edwards.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you. Yes, Blake Edwards.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. I mean, Phil Hartman was in it as well.
John Larroquette.
Oh, man. Way to flush your career down the toilet, Larroquette. Seriously.
I loved him in Stripes, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot he was in Stripes.
That's like one of my favorite 80s
comedies. See, those both that and Blind Date movies that like I saw when I was younger and I laughed and all that kind of stuff. And I think now if I saw them, I don't think I'd like them.
I'm sorry. If Blind Date is on, no, I watch it. I have to see it all the way through.
You're watching.
Oh, yeah. If you turn on the TV right now and it's on...
And I still laugh.
Yeah.
All right. What's news item?
Yeah. What's next, Andrew?
All right. This one was a rumor which was debunked, but I still wanted to talk about it. The rumor about Danny Boyle directing the next Bond film.
Yeah.
Right? It's been debunked, but like... Can I just say how awesome it would be if that was true?
And can I just say, who cares? I love Danny Boyle, but if he directed the next movie, or if he didn't direct the next movie, which apparently is the case, so what?
Can I say Danny Boyle doesn't do action very well? Can I say that? And I'd like some action in my Bond
28 Days Later.
Yes, he did. He did it fantastically.
And he's done many different genres.
And
well.
I actually feel like he's...
in that movie.
What?
28 Days Later. The action in that movie wasn't anything special.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was wonderful.
Yeah. I don't think it was anything special. So, I don't know.
But the thing that I think with Danny Boyle, though, his films all have a pretty strong emotional center or tone or like, you're gonna feel something in a Danny Boyle film.
Which is,
I don't know if that's the point of a Bond film.
Yeah. No, but you see, we kind of got some of that emotional feel from Casino Royale. We got none of it from Quantum of Solace.
Shut up.
Hence,
stop. Stop.
You know what would be good? I think it'd be good if they had him remake Quantum of Solace. Because I think that's what they were going for, but they also tried to go for, like, the Bourne Ultimatum, and it just got some weird mix in between.
Why does everybody hate Quantum of Solace?
I don't hate it. I actually enjoyed it, but I felt like they were trying to do two things. Like, trying to make Bond feel is a bit of a challenge, and I don't think they got... Like, I think they should have either just really gone with it or left it.
Yeah.
I think they need to leave Bond alone.
No, we haven't.
Listen, we've seen.
We haven't
kind
seen him with, you know, two girls at the same time or something. Let's do that.
It's been 900 years.
Yeah, I mean, let's keep going.
Right, Bond
if
and Dante's
broke,
Inferno.
It, okay,
those books were written the same time. Like, it's time to stop. Honestly, because nobody will ever be satisfied. We love Quantum.
No, but right? everyone liked Casino Royale.
No, we being me and Douglas.
Yes, the only important people on this side of the conversation.
We love Quantum. And a lot of people don't
And
like
clearly
it.
Shannon and loves Quantum, therefore she is important as well. But Andrew, you don't love Quantum,
no,
so
like
you are not
she
important.
Doesn't like Quantum.
No, she just said that she liked it.
I liked it. I loved it.
Oh, you don't love it?
We're confused.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Official, hold on. Official statement. Shannon, what is your status on Quantum of Solace?
I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was brilliant. I enjoyed it more than Casino Royale. A little bit.
You've been owned.
What tips the scales back to Casino Royale is that it has Mads Mikkelsen in it. And he's just fantastic.
People of Casino Royale... And other people hate it. There's people who even like the Pierce Brosnan films. All of them.
I didn't like all of it. He was a good Bond, but I didn't like all of his films.
No, he was not a good Bond.
No, he was a decent Bond.
He was fun.
All right, you see, here's the thing, right? I will defend Pierce Brosnan to this point where...
To the first film.
Hold on. No, first of all, GoldenEye is the only good film of the Pierce Brosnan. But generally, Pierce Brosnan was a good... character for Bond because it played to the suave debonair version of Bond. His films weren't good, but I like him. Like, if they made all of his films kick ass like GoldenEye, I would still want him in Bond today.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Every time Bond popularity starts to wane, they change the Bond and they try to do something new, and if it works, then they continue, and if it doesn't work, then they change the Bond. I think it's just time to stop. Maybe we've had enough Bond.
Fuck it. Just put in Will Smith as the next Bond. Jeez. Let's do it.
Yeah, no, it would make a lot of money, but that would guarantee it may be any good.
Well, they've never had an American Bond, have they?
No,
for good reason, because he's in MI6.
People fake American accents.
Oh, wait, no. Actually, they have had an American Bond.
Oh yeah!
Yes, in the original, in
was
the,
Dalton American? No, he's not.
No. Who is it? In the original Casino Royale.
That's not a real fun movie.
Yeah,
Woody Allen was James Bond. You know, all sorts of people were James Bond in that.
Woody
movie.
Allen was James Bond. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he was. Woody Allen was James Bond. Peter Sellers was James Bond. Who else is James Bond? There were about five of them in that
wasn't
movie
Michael
alone.
Caine in that movie as well?
Was he? I don't think so.
The kitchen sink was there.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Orson Welles was in that
Made
movie.
Made more Bond movies.
But do you guys like Daniel Craig as Bond?
I love him.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he's good. I think they can... I would assume that they're going to do another Bond film. And hopefully it'll be better. You know? Who would you get to direct it?
Martin Campbell. Because he's the only one who has proven to make Bond kick ass every
who
time.
Who would I get to direct it? George Lucas. That's him.
I've just punched Douglas in the face.
I'm there. That's the first thump of the podcast.
You know what? Uwe Ball.
John Woo.
Oh, no, man.
John Woo.
Come on.
Awesome.
You'd see the bullet go in slow motion. He'd be like, I'm all over happen. The place.
Oh, someone get John Woo on the phone.
I think I'm calling up my friend Quentin now.
No, a Tarantino James Bond? No, we couldn't have that.
That would be weirder than Bull.
Alright, so Shannon, who would you have direct a Bond film?
I would go with Paul Greengrass.
Drew Barrymore. Wait, no.
No, Paul Greengrass, I think, who did the Bourne.
He did the Bourne Supremacy and Ultimatum, tomato? And he also did United 93.
Mm-hmm. Let's forget that one.
And he's also doing British,
another
so
movie with Damon that's coming Bourne out very 4. Soon. No, not just that and one. Another one.
Yeah, and 7.
Jeez. I don't know if it's Spy, but I think Damon's in like the FBI or the CIA or some crap like that.
It's Green Zone.
That one, yeah, Green Zone.
See, there's the picture of Matt Damon. It's a drama war.
Yep, CIA. I knew it was one of the agencies.
CIA agents on the trail of certain weapons of mass destruction and a foreign correspondent following them on their mission.
I hope they have a black president in this one.
Well, I guess he's busy then, but still. That's who I would pick.
Yeah, that would actually be interesting.
Jason Isaacs and Brendan Gleeson and Greg Kinnear. Holy crap, that's a pretty good cast.
Wait, which movie is this? Green Zone?
Yeah.
Ah.
I didn't really look down
Amy
the
Ryan?
Ooh, Amy Ryan. Yay. She was amazing in anything she's in.
Alright, so yeah, I just wanted to talk about James Bond for a second so I could trash on Quantum again. But here's another piece of news. Leonardo DiCaprio has been cast to Chris Nolan's Inception film. Like, we already spoke about Inception, telling all the people to shut up about wanting a Dark Knight sequel immediately. What do you think?
Oh, because this is Christopher Nolan, right?
Yeah.
Because what?
Because it's Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. Like, DiCaprio, I think he's been generally on the acting rise for quite a while. I mean,
ever since Catch Me If You Can, he has been almost amazing in every movie he's been in.
Didn't you like that movie with the beach? What was that called?
The beach.
Some shitty that movie. Beach.
It's actually, I didn't mind it.
Actually, my favorite Leonardo DiCaprio movie to this date is The Titanic.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, right.
However, no. No.
I like Titanic.
No. I like Titanic 2, though. Titanic 2 was awesome. All that movies.
No, but it still didn't capture the nuances that the third movie got in there.
No, I'm talking about Revolutionary Road.
What about the third Titanic?
That is what would have happened if they'd stayed alive together. That movie's awesome.
Well, this new Christopher Nolan one is science fiction, so it could be anything, right?
Exactly.
We have no idea.
Batman could just pop up in the middle there.
All I know, Nolan has yet to make a bad movie, so...
Exactly. Nolan is awesome. DiCaprio is awesome. How can this not be bad? Good. Sorry.
For me, the only question I have is, can Leonardo DiCaprio do science fiction? Because he does a lot of historical-based stuff. He's very Americana, classic, leading man kind of thing. Science fiction could be anything. You know, would you believe him as, I don't know, what, an astronaut?
Maybe. I don't know. That's
an alien? Like, I'm not saying he is. I'm making like huge assumptions, but...
The question is, which accent will he pretend to have this time?
I want the South African one again. That was so bad.
Maybe he'll talk in monotone and maybe pretend he's a robot. No.
Maybe he won't talk.
Maybe he'll use his own accent. You make one up for the movie.
I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 between my favorite DiCaprio movie being The Departed or Revolutionary Road.
For DiCaprio?
Catch Me If You Can.
I don't think Departed would be the favorite DiCaprio movie at all. Because that was Matt Damon's movie.
Mark Wahlberg.
No, Matt Damon. Matt Damon stole the show.
Jack Nicholson stole the show.
No, he didn't. He said a couple F words and, you know, he was a little bit disgusting. Yeah. But that was Matt Damon's movie.
Like, what's your favorite DiCaprio film, Shannon?
I don't know. That's, I did like him in Catch Me If You Can. And Titanic. to be honest. I haven't seen The Departed, so I can't say about that. And I didn't enjoy The Aviator or Gangs of New York. So.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, he was good at that. He was good at that.
Yeah, but that movie was bad.
I'm kind of looking at it with hindsight because, I mean, I was like 10 when it came out. I haven't watched it since. I'm still yet to watch it again.
You know what movie he was great in? And
The Aviator was awesome.
It might, yeah, it was. I love that movie. But not The Aviator. He was fantastic in this movie. And I think, you know what, it might be his best role is What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh, yeah, he was good in that.
Brother. That was
yeah, that was fantastic.
I remember I saw him in that. I'm like, it took me years to make the connection.
I still haven't seen it.
This movie is really good.
It's good. And Johnny Depp is in it. Come on, man.
Yeah, that movie is really good.
Yeah, I gotta say though, now that I think about it, when I haven't liked something that he's in, it's not because of his performance. It's always because I just, in general, didn't like the film. I think it's, you know, I think he's got more than potential. Like, he's a really good, solid actor. I'm trying to imagine him in a science fiction film. So, not that I don't think he, like, I think he can do it, but I can't put the two together. So, well, I guess we'll just have to see.
What is this you're assaulting my eyes with, Andrew? Why do I see Sideways?
Oh, no, it's because of the next news item.
The next news item has something to do with Sideways? That means we need to cut it.
You're jumping. You're jumping one.
Oh, am I? I don't know. I just see what's on the computer screen. I'm sorry. And I saw Sideways, and I got upset.
Yeah, there was one news item that I think we should really just mention. It was more of an article posted on Slash Film about Terminator Salvation and whether it's going to be PG-13 or R. And... I was really going to ask, does it really matter?
No, it doesn't.
Of course it matters.
What was your favorite movie of last year? What was your favorite movie of last year?
Dark Knight.
What was it rated?
PG-13.
Shut up.
No.
There's nothing else to say.
There's a big difference with Terminator.
Okay, like, I understand. I love Terminator 1 and 2. Amazing.
Exactly.
They can't work as PG-13 films. However... Based off of the trailers we've seen, like, I mean, it could easily turn out to be that they filmed a PG-13 film, mainly because I think it's going to be shit, where they're going to have pure robot versus man action, where it's going to be fisticuffs, and then people are just going to fall through walls, and you'll never see blood. And on top of which, they're still talking about cutting out some nude scene with Bloodgood, Moon Blood... What's that girl's name? We were talking about the other night. Moon Bloodgood. She was in the Street Fighter movie.
Yeah.
So, what does it really matter whether it's PG-13 or R? Because, I mean, it looks like it's going to be just a regular action film.
One thing that matters is how successful it'll be, because, you know, an R-rated film in the States is, you know, going to have limit the box office.
All
right. Right?
Let me just stop you right there.
What?
Whenever I say why does it matter, I never talk about money. I don't care how much money these people
make. Okay, but you can't, like, we can talk till the cows come home about really great films, even a really great film like The Orphanage, but if less people see it, you know, you're limiting a huge amount of audience if you're making it R. And not that I, like, for me, it doesn't matter, because here, I can guarantee you, it's going to be 14A. So it'll still have, which means if you're under 14, you have to have an adult take you. So people will be able to go, but it won't be, like, I don't think it'll make that much of a difference here. In the States, I think if it goes R, it'll really cut the box office.
It might, but it depends with those movies. I mean, remember that Terminator, the original, came out a long time ago. And so you're going to have a lot of people that are, you know, of age that will already be a part of the audience that is going to go.
Yeah, but it also stars Christian Bale, who was in The Dark Knight and Batman Begins, right? So he's pretty, you know, he's pretty big news. And I think that, you know, will reach to a larger larger and younger audience.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. What did you say?
I think it matters. I do think it matters, but I think it's cool that it sounded like the director was kind of like not going to enforce that it be a PG movie. Like, he was going to create a movie and then it'll get whatever rating it gets. So that's the impression I got from the article. which I think is a good stand. But I know for me here, it'll likely be 14A. I don't know what the ratings like are where you guys are though.
Oh, everything is X21.
It will probably be A18, I think. Which is again, you have to be 18.
You spoke about the Dark Knight being PG-13, but look at the scene when the Joker killed Black Dynamite.
Yeah, that was a huge right? cutaway. Yeah, that was. Right.
We heard that bang, and then he died.
Right. Yeah, because here I think I'm pretty sure
I'm
the
sure.
Dark Knight was 14A. Right. It I'm wasn't sure PG here.
That whatever Nolan wanted, he decided that he's not going to reshoot it, or it couldn't have been reshot, and they had to take that section of the film out altogether. And they're like, I'm going to, and he was there. The guy was standing. He had the knife to his neck. Then we heard bang. And the guy was dead. I mean, that is where R and PG-13, if it was an R-rated movie, they could have shown us how the Joker killed him.
Well, you see, here's the thing, right? As I believe with every film, it depends on what people intended from the get-go, right? If someone intended from the get-go this movie would probably be PG-13, then whatever, they're going to make it as good as they can while PG-13. And pushing the R is just really adding buckets of goo just to make people feel better about it.
No,
I understand. No, hang on. You don't get what he's saying. I understand what he's saying. He's not saying that, you know, the difference between an R-rated movie and a PG-13 movie is blood. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if you're going out to make a PG-13 movie and then say, you know what, let's make it R, all that's going to happen is you're going to just add some gore.
And on top of which, it's usually just gratuitous and people just find it annoying.
Well, what?
Yeah.
Slumdog was rated R. Why?
No, it should have been R.
I have heard lots of people talk about it, and I'm sorry, it should.
All right. Slumdog is rated R.
Yep. Oh.
For no reason at all. there's no
sorry, did you not see the first 15 minutes?
Yes.
So, okay, huge Slumdogs. Has everyone seen Slumdogs?
Yeah. We've all seen it.
I don't think you can have that extensive torture in a film and it not be a high rating, like an R rate.
Pirates 3 is PG-13.
No. No, torture is one of those things that pushes over the edge. It's like full frontal male nudity. No. You're not going to see that in a PG-13 movie or a PG movie.
But what I'm saying is, you're saying that if you're going to shoot for a certain rating, right, don't push it up because of, just to say, yes, you have an R rating. But the reason why I want this to be R is because if they're going to have robots fighting people, right, then I want it to be as violent and as realistic as possible. And the only way they're going to reasonably achieve that is to make it R. Because if they shoot for PG-13, we're going to have the same cutaway nonsense that we had in the Dark Knight, where there's something happening, but they can't really show you. You just have to use your imagination. But that's not what I go to a movie for. I don't want to use my imagination. I want you to put it on the screen.
That's fine. It's weird because, like, for me, it's especially the Terminator series. If those films, I find are more about the story than the action.
I agree.
So I don't, they will infer or show with blood or show without blood that people die. I don't need to see it explicitly ever.
I don't understand why, but Damon is shaking his head.
PG-13. Most PG-13 action movies tend to suck.
That's a whole other conversation.
There's exceptions, obviously. Obvious, man. Of course, there's exceptions.
Let's see. PG-13 action films.
Mm-hmm. The Dark Knight. Batman Begins.
Thanks for shooting yourself in the foot.
You didn't like Batman Begins?
Yeah, but as an action movie, no.
Alright, okay, fine. Action movie?
Mm-hmm. Continue. Dark Knight.
Last Action Hero.
Die Hard 4.
We're not having this conversation.
Yeah, I wouldn't pull that one out. I like it, Andrew, but
all of the Bourne movies are PG-13.
Fair enough.
How they got that one, I don't know. Right.
Right. So we
the pirates films are all PG-13.
Andrew.
Put that back in the bucket.
Let's roll some of this
again.
I'm totally working on the fly right now. I don't know what to say. But there are a good amount of PG-13 action films which are decent.
All the kick-ass karate movies that we saw were worst. All kick-ass karate movies are R-rated.
That's true, actually. I always find that strange, like when I went back and watched like a bunch of Bruce Lee movies and they're all R.
All R-rated. It's like,
whoa! Right? That might have just, that's, you know, a lot of time has passed, though,
right,
and the qualifications for ratings has changed.
Fine, but, I mean, first...
But really, like, do you really want to see blood? Do you really want to see,
not,
like, exposed bones and arms?
Blood. I just don't
off.
Want them to cut away because they're trying to squeeze an R-rated movie. As I know Mitchy shot this movie for an R-rated. There's no way he put a sex scene in it. And then he's like... I wonder if we can get away with PG-13. I know he shot an R-rated movie. What I don't want him to do is to cut. Just like The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight, you know Nolan. If it was up to Nolan, it wouldn't have been PG-13, that movie. You know that. That would have been a solid R-rated movie.
I'm surprised at that. Like, what are you basing that on? Are you basing that on Batman Begins or another Nolan film or an interview or what?
He's basing it off of the stuff that he's pulling right out of his ass. That's what I think he's basing it on.
No, but you saw that they cut up that movie.
Yeah, every couple of frames they cut. Like, you know, like editing is part of the film.
Yes!
Thank you so much.
You have just been put in your place, Damien.
Shannon, I just
speak
let
no
you know
more.
From now on, you are welcome on the podcast anytime you want. As long as you keep putting Damien in his place.
But I
do say, though, that I do appreciate the fact that if you're watching the film and you're noticing something as minute as you think that they, at this moment, are changing something for a rating while you're sitting there in the theater, I can appreciate how that would, like, tailor your experience and diminish your experience of the film. I get that. But I do also insist that editing is part of the film.
Yep.
Okay, so we can just kind of end that topic right there.
When's the director's cut coming out?
And we move into our next bit of news. Alexander Payne's newest film is going to be starring a ton of huge names. And some of these names are Sacha Baron Cohen, Paul Giamatti, Meryl Streep, and Reese Witherspoon.
Booyakasha.
I love Alexander Payne from his film Sideways. I mean, I can't remember liking about Schmidt that much.
Ooh, crap.
Ooh.
Actually, it wasn't crap, but it was highly overrated.
And like,
what else did he do again? Sideways and what?
And about Schmidt, as well as
that looked bad.
No, that was bad.
I didn't watch it, but it looked horrible.
No, about Schmidt was good.
Oh,
I
was
liked
it?
About
no,
Schmidt.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, no.
Douglas hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
I saw it like 5-6 years ago, and I don't remember much more than Jason. What the hell am I saying?
Kathy Bates.
I mean, Jack Nicholson. Oh. Jack Nicholson, like having gray hair, all not combed and stuff, like just looking crazy, and other films.
And Andrew, he did Paris, Je t'aime.
I'm not saying that. I've made it a rule.
Say
I'm
voice
never
over
going.
That?
I'm
What's
never,
that?
What?
Perhaps you mean Paris, Je t'aime?
No, I do. I do. I actually know. Andrew told
We're
me the joke.
Andrew.
We're mocking Andrew here, where he did not realize that it was Je t'aime. And he told me the joke, and so now I make fun of him anytime I see that word. Or
I've
anything.
Made the rule that I'm never saying a French word ever again.
Okay.
Je t'aime.
Moving on. Like, what do you think about this news item? Like, I don't think they pull out any details about the film, really.
Meryl Streep
the
is in
The name of it is Downsizing. He's going to watch it because Meryl Streep is in
and
it.
And she's
I'm going to watch
amazing.
It because Paul Giamatti is in it. Douglas is going to watch it because Ali G
is
in it. Like, what about you, Shannon?
She's
what do you think?
She's watching it called Reese Witherspoon. So we've
No. Not Reese. There's Paul Giamatti. Come on.
I took Paul Giamatti.
Oh, you did? Okay, well then.
So she's left with Reese.
She's left with Reese. I'm sorry, Shannon. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't mind. She's, you know, an Academy Award winner. I actually think it's a little weird because both the women in the film, like Meryl Streep and Reese Witherspoon are awesome, but both of the guys are like highly typecasted, like in almost all their films. So I can't even like Seth without Ryan, getting a sense of what the movie's about. It just to me it feels like a really odd combination of actors.
He's about Andrew. Yeah, it is an odd combination of actors. Andrew's asking if Sacha Baron Cohen has acted outside his range, and I think he's about to in what's that movie?
Not
some war movie, a Vietnam thing, where he's a veteran, I think.
Really?
Bruno?
No,
it
can't be Bruno.
Bruno, that's the one, yes. Look at the list, let's see.
It's not there on IMDb, but I know, I know what you're talking about. I saw it on one of the blogs.
Maybe he pulled out, I guess, yeah. Oh, well.
Well, he was good. Did you guys see Sweeney Todd?
Loved him in it.
I love that movie.
His scene was the best scene of the movie. Yes,
yeah, he was good in that. I was impressed. I haven't seen him in much, but...
you should go and watch Borat. That movie's awesome.
You're not going to get me to watch Borat.
Oh, come on. You have to watch it. I forced Andrew to watch it, and he came out laughing. He was like, I hate this movie. Allergy sucks. And then he loved it, so you have to watch it. It's wonderful.
No.
Come on, please, for me.
What was the allergy? Allergy goes to... England.
No, don't watch any Ali G.
No. Ali G's DVDs are hilarious.
So good.
And the movie, I'll give you that is kind of average, but it's still funny.
I love that movie. HBO facts.
And I mean, I think I'm the only one here possibly, but I'm a huge fan of Sideways. I mean, Douglas hates it, and he told me mainly because he got this huge hype for it. I didn't. I just didn't know anything. I just watched the movie, and it was great. I loved it. Paul Giamatti was also amazing in it, so... I'm looking forward to whatever Payne does right now first.
Well, I like some of his older work, like Election was awesome with Reese Witherspoon and...
And Matthew Broderick?
Yeah.
Ah, I've seen that.
That Election. I've heard people say good things about that.
Yeah, one of the very few good movies with Matthew Broderick in it.
I'm not going to argue for Matthew Broderick.
He's not going to argue for the guy who did Inspector Gadget.
There's just no way.
He's done a lot of... Well,
Ferris Bueller and Electra. What else is there? People like the war movie with Denzel, but what else, really?
Well, he's doing more theater work now, right? So
yeah, but there was a long time when he tried to do movies.
He was good in... Oh, what was that movie? The
Bayou thing?
The romance.
I like the producers.
Addicted to Love with Meg Ryan. Producers.
Oh, Meg Ryan movie. That was average. Good. Nah, it was okay.
I liked it. And he was good
Wives,
in...
Stepford Wives. I remember Stepford Wives being half
no,
decent.
That was awful.
Or maybe it was me just...
Stepford Wives was bad.
Stepford Wives. I haven't seen that. Yeah, the other stuff I have to say that for me, like, I just, you know, I like some of the older films that he's done, like War Games and Lady
Hawk.
Yeah,
that's kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's my thoughts of Matthew Broderick. I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love that DVD.
But Election's definitely worth watching. It is very, very good.
Alright, and one other piece of news that just broke today I want to talk about. It's been confirmed now that Mickey Rourke and Scarlett Johansson are signed to Iron Man 2. Mickey Rourke will be playing the Russian villain. I don't even know what the character's name is anymore. And Scarlett Johansson will be playing... Can't even remember. What's the name of the character? It's
Black Widow.
Black Widow. Like, the question I have is, what do you think about Scarlett Johansson doing action? Do you think she'll be, like, made to do action scenes, a lot of action scenes in this film?
Well, if she's in a superhero movie, yeah. Or a comic book movie, but she's a villain. Did anyone see The Spirit?
No, not yet.
That actually just released the other week here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we're not going to watch it.
I decided I cannot watch a movie that is already more than 3 months old at the theater. I'm not going to pay to watch it.
Well, I think she's a pretty good actor, so I think it's worth a shot. She'd have to impress me, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say she can't do it, because I haven't seen that, but I'd want to see a preview. I'd want to see what they were trying to do there.
The way I see it, she'll have a gun and she'll be dressed in leather. I'll probably want to watch it.
And Downey Jr. is going to be in it too, so bam, there you go.
But no Terrence Howard.
So everyone will be happy.
Yeah. I'm so upset that Terrence Howard isn't in it, though.
That sucks. I just have that one really question. Sucks.
Will War Machine be in this one?
Yes,
probably. Then that's all I want to know. I mean, are we talking
at
about
least it isn't really
Don Cheadle.
I don't care about extra people.
I mean, I know everybody loves Don Cheadle. He's, you know, the poster boy.
He will be
thinks he's
inside
great.
The War Machine suit.
I don't like him. Listen, I never liked him.
CG will take care of.
He hasn't been that good in most of his movies.
They could have put anybody they wanted in that suit. Because the suit is CG. As long as the suit is awesome, I will be happy. Everything else, I mean, really, if none of these announcements were made, would you have been less hyped for Iron Man 2? No. Exactly.
Well, no, I think the Mickey Rourke thing has been, like, sort of on the fence, off the fence, on the fence. You know, so people sounded like they really wanted him to be in it.
But it's not like he's going to turn in another performance like The Wrestler. Because
no.
The role won't call for that. He'll be Mickey Rourke. At best, he'll give you the Sin City performance, and I don't even think he's going to give us that.
I liked him in Sin City.
Yeah, everyone liked him in Sin City.
He was the only thing I liked. One of the only things I liked about Sin City.
That is the performance that we'll get. We're not getting a wrestler performance. We may not even get that performance. What's the new movie? Is in Killshot or some nonsense?
But
that looks terrible. And he looks terrible in it, and we might get him doing another performance like that. So, I mean...
Yeah, but you guys are all going to go see Iron Man 2,
exactly.
No matter what you do, right?
This has no bearing on us going to watch a movie. If they had never told us any of this, it would not matter. All they need to tell me is War Machine and Iron Man 2.
No, they don't. They need to say Iron Man 2 tomorrow, pay.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'm like, are you guys sure? Yeah, we'll finish. Like
but knowing Carib, they won't be sure. But anyways, like... Let's. That's the end of our news segment today, and let's just move
Stop
into trailers.
On the mic, son.
Am I yawning on the mic?
No.
No, I'm not.
Let's move into the trailer segment.
If I am, I apologize. I'm really tired.
They can hear you yawning.
And the first trailer tonight is Michael Mann's Public Enemies.
What is it exactly you do for a living?
John Dillinger, robbed banks.
That's a serious thing to say to a girl you just met.
I like baseball, movies, good clothes, fast cars, and you. What else do you need to know?
Today, I am declaring United States of America's first war on crime.
Your task will be to get John Dillinger. Are you up to that task, Agent Purvis?
Absolutely, sir.
And we are pursuing hardened killers.
Play a game, Mr. President. It's called Spin the Dial.
That's your money, mister?
Yes.
We're here for the bank's money, not yours. Put it away.
Hell, the whole country thinks you're a damn hero.
Robbing banks is getting tougher.
We're having too good a time today. We ain't thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you ought to.
Johnny! Put some clothes on, miss.
They're extraditing you.
Where to?
Indiana.
Why?
I have absolutely nothing I want to do in Indiana.
Johnny, how long did it take you to go through a bank?
About 1 minute, 40 seconds. Flat.
Well, here's a man who killed pretty boy Quilty.
Only way that you would leave a jail cell is when we take you out to execute you.
Well, we'll see about that.
John Dillinger has given us a second chance to get John Dillinger.
You can be anywhere.
Where are you going?
Where I'm on.
We're too good for them. They ain't tough enough, smart enough, or fast enough. I hit any bank I want anytime. They got to be at every bank, all the time.
So go now, you can stand all alone.
What if we can get out of here all together?
You want to take that ride with me?
Yeah, I want to take that ride with you.
All alone, all alone, all alone.
So yeah, that was the trailer for Public Enemies, and like, Shannon, what did you think of it?
Well, I'm hoping that it's not a really just shortened version of the film, because it seems to show a lot going on. But it's Michael Mann, Johnny Depp, Christian Bale. I'm going to give it a chance.
So from that, you sound like you're a Michael Mann fan then.
Yeah, I am. I didn't like his, like, the last two films that he did. I wasn't a big fan of Miami Vice, and I thought Collateral was okay, but I loved Ali, The Insider, Heat, Last of the Mohicans.
Ooh, Heat was amazing. I have to say, I watched it not for the first time, but for the first time properly, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and it is now my favorite movie ever.
Wow.
How can it beat, like, The Godfather?
Well, it's my favorite movie ever until I think of other favorite movie evers.
Oh, okay.
But it's just, it's amazing. I peed my pants, you know. It was it was spectacular. I watched it the whole way through, and I remember people saying, you know, oh, it's a little bit too long. Oh, you know, the acting's a bit too over the top. No, it was spectacular.
Well, yeah, here comes another moment. I have to admit, I'm not a huge fan of Michael Mann. I mean, I kind of have to rewatch Heat, but that didn't impress me when I first saw it a while back. Also, Ali was crap. Thing there, as is Miami Vice, and
you liked Ali
Collateral
Damian?
Was crap.
You liked Ali, Damian? Is that what
he
you're saying?
He just said he doesn't like Heat.
He doesn't like Heat? Oh, he doesn't like Heat. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that one.
Yeah.
I can't think of them. You know,
I think this podcast is over.
You know, like, I'm not a big Pacino or De Niro fan, but you know, you got Pacino, De Niro, Val Kilmer.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's got a great use of color, great story. You know, for me, that's a repeat watcher.
And Natalie Portman, Andrew, one of your favorite ladies.
All right, I'm here. I've just brought up the list, the Michael Mann's page on IMDb, and I'm just going to go down the list. Public Enemies, I have to say, this trailer looks awesome and I want to watch it. However, like you, I fear that they've given away the whole film. Because I'm not sure how long a space there is in between each plot point they just gave us in the film. I'm not sure if, like, it takes 40 minutes for him to go from beginning to him breaking out of jail. And then the rest of the movie is him being chased by Christian Bale. Even though that seems stupid, if that's the trailer.
Yeah.
But anyways, I still think it looks amazing, and I think most of my love for it has to be Johnny Depp, because he's amazing.
He dies, by the way. Just to let you know, Andrew.
Huh?
He dies.
Oh, okay. You spoiled it for me, you bastard. Going down Michael Mann's list of films he's directed, Miami Vice was not good, Collateral was not good, Ali was not good, I haven't seen The Insider.
It wasn't bad, it was
Heat,
okay.
I was not impressed with, but it was a long time since I've seen it, so I'm willing to rewatch it and reassess, you know.
Chop.
The Last of the Mohicans, I can't remember. And
that's a Day-Lewis movie. It's probably amazing.
And going down the rest, the only other film here I've seen is Manhunter, which I was kind of like, that's okay.
Yeah, but that wasn't, like, that one was, I would have to agree, it's okay, but it's from, like, what are we talking about here with
86.
Manhunter?
Didn't Jesus use the water?
That was the year I was born, sir.
86.
1986?
Yes.
Youngster.
Okay.
You sound like you just gave away a bit too much information there. I don't think Shannon is ever going to talk to you again, Andrew.
No, we've had this discussion already.
Like, why am I talking to children?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
12, 13.
Let's just go around in the podcast. I'm 22, Douglas.
No, you don't have to do that.
I noticed the rest.
I'm 25. Come on, what?
And Damien is like 5,000.
I'll walk with Jesus.
He was born the year Argentina won the World Cup. There.
Oh my God, that's weird.
Not right.
Like, that would require Googling to figure out.
So, like, back to the point. Michael Mann's Public Enemies trailer. Like, what did you think, Damon?
This trailer is horrible.
Okay.
This is a terrible trailer.
No more from you.
No
more from you.
Shut up.
No more.
The movie still has a chance of being good. It's not that I don't want the movie to be good. It's just that it's a bad trailer. Because this trailer is a shortened version of the film. They've given everything out. Nothing will come as a surprise.
But listen, while we're watching this movie. You are not taking your advice to heart. Remember, this is a historical movie.
Yes.
You know exactly what's going to happen.
Yes.
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 But the trailer doesn't have to tell everybody.
I'll tell you what happens in the end.
No,
Marion Cotillard calls the police.
No. Yeah. Much like Andrew, there's a lot of people who know nothing about this. I know how it ends.
I mean, the most I know is John DeLuca exists and he robbed banks.
But that is all they had to tell us in the trailer. There's this dude who robs banks. Right? People are after him. That's all. They didn't have to tell me that there was this and... Trailer was too long and they gave away. Did you remember the Death Race trailer?
Not really.
Okay. I don't remember the trailer.
It must be from the same production host because it told you from beginning
but
to end.
But there wasn't much to tell you in Death Race.
Yes.
But he drives cars
and
then
still told us
it's a race.
You two,
I remember the exact point in the Death Race trailer where I was like, oh, now I don't need to see it.
Exactly. And that's how I feel about this movie. Why are they telling me everything that's going to happen in this movie? But Christian Bale is in it and I will watch anything. Anything that man is in. Johnny Depp, I don't have as much love as Andrew. And Michael Mandel.
You didn't like him in the Pirates films? Or in every Tim Burton film he's done?
Not a big Tim Burton fan.
Really?
No.
Whoa, that's interesting.
No, not really.
That's Andrew talk for Damien. You're never coming on this podcast.
Yeah, that's
again.
Yeah.
I mean, all you have to say is you don't like Quentin Tarantino and you can leave right now.
Yeah.
Check it, bro.
I mean, Christian Bale is in the movie. That's all they needed. If it was just a blank screen and like this summer, Christian Bale. In question mark. I'm like, oh my god.
Can I just say I'm slightly Christian bailed out? Like, he's had so many films in the last like 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, but they were all good.
Yeah, they're so bad. I mean
what? They're not bad.
What's that logic?
No, he's being sarcastic.
Good. So I'm like, I thought we finally all agreed on something.
Yeah.
No,
you see, that's what we're saying to Andrew. We're saying, how can you be Christian Bale'd out when every single Christian Bale movie so far recently has been good?
I've not seen a bad Christian Bale movie. I don't know if one exists.
There was one where he went to
Rain of Fire.
Rain of Fire. But also there was another one where he went to live with his wife, with his mother who was like a recording artist, and then all sorts of crap happens. I don't know what it's called though.
Alright, just to show you the IMDb list of his acting, right? I'm not saying I love most of the film, most if not all of the films he's been in that I'm about to list, but it's just that there's so many that I feel like I just need a break from Christian Bale. There was The Dark Knight last year.
Awesome.
There was I'm Not There,
awesome.
The year before, which I love. There was 320 Yuma.
Awesome.
There was Prestige.
Awesome.
Rescue Dawn.
Awesome.
The New World.
I didn't watch that one.
Didn't watch New
which
World.
Which one?
The New World. That was the Pocahontas movie.
Oh, he was in The New World?
Along with
I need to watch that. No.
There was Harsh Times, which was bad.
It was okay.
There was Batman Begins.
Awesome.
There was The Machinist.
Yeah.
And Equilibrium.
Yes!
Oh, yes! Oh, yeah!
But what I'm trying to say, can you see a pattern?
But
other than the awesome word.
Really awesome?
Modern and stupendous.
Splendorific? Even?
Supercalifragilistic? I don't understand.
Oh, Andrew, there's Christian. That's another, you know, Christian Bale being in all of these movies. That's another common thread here.
Spectacular, spectacular.
It's almost like him.
Spectacular.
It's almost like him being in the movie. Makes it a good movie. I don't understand. And you're tired. Oh, so you're tired of seeing good movies. Is that where we're headed with this conversation?
By the way, hang on. How many movies did you just list?
Let me go back and check.
Right. It's like 10 since 2000. Wait.
How many movies did you just list?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, the earliest movie was in 2002.
Right.
It is now 2009.
Well, we can't really.
It is now 2009.
It's only March.
It is now 2009. That's 7 years.
6 years.
Yeah, but that's
really
more than 1 year, which is a lot for one actor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like people saying they're
Seth Rogen.
I gotta
agree with Andrew on that.
You know?
Damn it!
But I still think he's awesome.
Thank you. And as long as
and let's just make it known, he has 3 movies this year: Public Enemies, Terminator Salvation, and this movie, which I don't know about. Killing Pablo is on.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've heard that name before. Where did I see that?
That looks.
So it's not like we're going to have a lack of Christian Bale films.
You know what, Andrew? You know what's going to happen? Why you're going to turn around on Christian Bale? He's going to do a movie with Zooey Deschanel, and then you can't. You can't.
Directed
not
by
watch
Quentin
it.
Tarantino.
I do like
Quentin. And as supporting actress, Meryl Streep.
Yeah, oh boy. Oh boy.
That would be weird.
And it brings us all together.
Bust.
And it'll be a horror film.
Oh, there you go.
Therefore, Shannon is with us. Yeah, so I just wanted to say that. But Public Enemies looks like it'll be awesome. And
yeah, it looks good.
The trailer is still bad.
The trailer wasn't bad. The trailer was decent.
Anyways, let's move on to our next trailer.
What's the next trailer?
Which is Pandorum.
Pandorum?
Where's the rest of the crew?
There's no one here except us.
What if you awoke with no memory?
Hello? Hello?
What if the world you knew was gone? What if you discovered you were not alone?
I just went out of this thing. Do you know the symptoms of Pandorum? Starts with a shiver, an itch, a slow boil. The biological side effects of flying deep space, feeding into paranoia.
Your mind has turned against itself.
Help!
And that was Pandorum, ladies and gentlemen.
I had never even heard of this film.
Yeah, it's been making the rounds on like Billington's site and the site I don't follow and the site with the fat boys and all of that. But what did you think of the trailer? I mean, personally, I thought, yay, Ben Foster, and then I saw the rest of the trailer. So what did you think, Shannon?
When I first saw it, I watched the first maybe like 20 seconds, and then I started not really looking at it, not really listening to it, because it intrigued me right off the bat, you know. And then I think they started to give away a little too much. But I do have to say, I get worried when they say "from the producers."
We had that exact same conversation just a while ago.
Can I just tell you that I personally ignored that until Damien came here this evening and was like, "Yup, producers of Resident Evil 5, this movie's going to be crap."
But I agree with you. Ben Foster, I was like, oh, rock on, because I've been waiting for him to have a stronger role in something, because so far, he was in the third X-Men, 310 to Yuma, and 30 Days of Night, but yeah, never in a huge role. So I'm like, I want to see if this guy really has it. So I'll watch it. I don't want to see too much more about it. But it looks scary, it looks freaky, it looks a little different, and I love how much blue there is. If there's blue in a movie, I'll go see it.
Whoa, what's so special about blue?
Talk about something to like get you interested into a movie.
It's true. No, I love movies that
What was Waterworld?
I didn't watch that. No. I don't like Kevin Costner. But no, movies about water, movies about space.
So essentially you're saying that you just love blue movies.
So you like blues.
Okay.
I do.
I get you.
Okay, the Abyss? Right. That's blue? Okay. Not baby blue movies, that's something else.
But can I just say, I'm looking on the IMDb page for Pandorum, and I mean, the trailer showed us Ben Foster, which is awesome, and Dennis Quaid, which, I mean, I'm kind of teetering on because his movies recently haven't been that good, and he's also in G.I. Joe. But, but looking down the IMDb page, apparently also in this movie is the wonderful actor that is Cam Jagandi, who was in Twilight as well as Never Back Down.
Wait, Twilight? What was he in Twilight?
He's
a bad
guy. He was James, whoever that is. I haven't seen the movie.
James.
And he's also
James!
He's also in Never Back Down. And that's all he's in.
I saw that recently.
And he's from the OC. So.
Oh, but isn't that a compliment? Doesn't that mean that you're great if you're from the OC?
Is it?
The OC is awesome, apparently.
I'm telling you, if you ever write about someone who's on the OC, your hits on your website just skyrocket.
Oh, okay, I'm going to do it this weekend.
I don't know how it happens. Like, I put I don't even know what the film was, and it was like someone from the OC was on it, and all of a sudden it was like on all these fan pages and links everywhere. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's really just been this huge hit for no reason at all. Really. It's not that good. Anyway, back to the movie.
Read this trailer. I have to say the only thing I didn't like about it, other than producers of Resident Evil, was the voiceover. The voiceover I found was slightly annoying. I think this trailer would have been so much better if there was no voiceover. And I tend to like voiceovers in trailers.
500 Days of Summer.
I didn't mind the voiceover in that trailer.
Because something's wrong with you.
That's the worst voiceover.
That was an awful voiceover. They tried to fix it in the second trailer, yeah, and they didn't quite get it anyway.
So anything after that just doesn't even make a dent.
Yeah.
That VO was atrocious.
I just wish they had contracted my man. What's his name? He was in a car crash.
He's your
last
man,
year.
And you don't know his name. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
With the unidentified female who broke up his marriage. Yes. Anytime you hear car crash, an unidentified female, there's a suit coming. There's a divorce suit coming. So yeah, I see you've queued up our next trailer for us.
Yeah.
Which one is this?
This is The Hangover.
Hello?
Tracy, it's Phil.
Phil, where the hell are you guys?
We lost Doug.
What? We're getting married in 5 hours.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
What happened last night?
Oh, God!
Am I missing a tooth?
Oh.
Whose baby is that?
Check its collar or something.
I looked everywhere. Nobody's seen Doug. He's not here.
Here's your car, officers.
All right, everybody act cool. Just get in and go.
What is going on?
I lost a tooth. I married a whore.
How dare you? She's a nice lady.
Some guys just can't handle Vegas.
Mike Tyson?
Shh. This is my favorite part coming up right now.
Oh, shit. I'm just saying, he still got it.
Oh my God, was that Phil Collins at the end?
It
yes,
was.
It was Phil Collins. I love Phil Collins.
Who made that choice?
Hold on. Do you not like Phil Collins?
No, I'm just saying it just seems like a really odd choice.
I'm sure it all works in context.
No, it's all supposed to be funny because, you know, Mike Tyson is this heavy dude and he's listening to Phil Collins. That's what that joke is.
That, I gotta tell you, that little part there reminded me of that part in Tropic Thunder with
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Just think about it. G5, baby. I love
right,
that movie.
Just like how you're a huge horror fan, I know you're not a huge fan of comedy, Shannon. What do you think of that trailer?
I would have to say there is no chance in hell I would see this film.
What?
There's a, oh my god. Oh yeah. We're supposed to be married in 2 days. Yeah, that's not gonna happen. Like, who cares? Like, who are these people? Like, what? You go, like, it's just, there's just nothing. It's, well, I'm not the target audience. This is not for women. Like, this is like, remember that movie that came out, College, where they got, like, you
oh,
know,
come on.
Just
College was like one of the worst comedies
college
ever.
College, grown-ups.
This won't be college. College is terrible.
What's the difference? People go out partying and stupid things happen.
The jokes will be better.
The difference.
Well, let's see. What's the rating?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure it's R, but isn't Superbad about people going out and getting drunk and having parties and stuff? And that movie was amazing.
Aren't most comedy
I didn't see.
You haven't seen Superbad?
No.
Oh.
Did you think I would have seen Superman?
Yeah, Andrew.
No, and that's okay. Like, that's okay. That's like, I don't expect not every movie's definitely going to be tailored to me.
So. Yeah, I get that, but who knows? Maybe.
There's no way I'd watch this movie.
No, but I have to say, my favorite guy is in this movie. And it's not Doug from The Office. It's, you know, it's the guy with the shadow. What the hell is his name? He was on Alias. He is in Yes Man. He is in Wedding Crashers, but I have no clue what his name is.
Okay.
He is hilarious in anything that he's in lately. In that supporting, like, best friend type role, he's wonderful. And Andrew is looking it up for me.
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, and just for him being in the movie, it means I must watch it.
I always remember him as Alias Dude.
I don't, because I never watched the show. I only know it because every time I say, oh, that guy, you say, oh, he was an Alias. But, yeah, this movie looks...
Oh, like, I saw... He was in My Little Eye. I saw that.
He was in what? My Little...
My Little Eye.
Ah.
Yeah, another small Canadian horror film.
Oh, okay. Was it good?
It was okay. There's sort of a lot of films that are about a similar thing. It's kind of like if reality TV became a horror movie. It's an interesting concept, but I thought it fell a little short. But it was pretty scary. It was pretty good.
Hmm.
And he's also in your favorite movie, which you made me go and watch. What was it?
Oh, yeah.
That I watched instead of the Oscars.
I did not make you go and watch it. I said, let's watch the Oscars.
She's Not That Into You.
And you said, no, I don't want to watch the Oscars. Let's go and watch She's Not That Into You. Remember that, Andrew? Do you remember that conversation where I said, let's watch the Oscars, and you said no?
I remember
seeing... Do you remember that?
I remember seeing
Do you
the
remember
Oscars
that?
Are on, and then a bottle of vodka being opened, and then nothing happened for the rest of the night.
Yeah, but that movie was... But
he was
good.
This guy was also in Midnight Meat Train.
I like that movie.
He's in that movie?
Yes, he is.
Yep.
Another reason for me to watch it.
He's the photographer.
I guess he's the photographer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another reason.
Damien has now gone to reading Watchmen.
Oh! Okay, so it didn't sound like... So you guys, would you see this? Yeah?
I would definitely see this movie. It looks hilarious.
I would watch it twice, three times. It looks great.
Wow.
The second she said that she's not the target audience, my brain turned off. I can't.
But it's true, right?
No, I understand. To each his own, but you're a crazy person.
honestly, do you think that film is targeted to women? Who are the two women that they infer to in the film? One, his fiance, who he's not going to make it to the wedding, and then they have an off reference to a woman who someone might have married and call her a whore.
But she's
she's a nice lady as a joke. Honestly,
he wasn't calling her a whore. He was giving you the woman's occupation, which just happened to be a whore.
It is not targeted to women. Honestly.
You can stretch it and stretch it no further, Andrew.
Alright, well, I mean, all males would go and then women might have to come.
Yeah, so all I have to say is when it comes out, don't take your girlfriends. That's just a little heads up from me to you. You know, go on your own or go with your friends. I don't think any girls will be impressed with that.
I'll let them watch Requiem for a Dream with me before this.
Oh, that movie is so painful. It's great, but oh boy.
Anyways, let's move on to what we're all here for, the main review. And for any of you,
we haven't even talked about that.
I know.
For any of you,
do you know
who
how
don't
long
know
we've gone so far? We're pushing 2 hours, I think.
We're already past 2 hours.
Oh boy.
Didn't for any
start
of you,
this yesterday morning.
Holy shit, I'm late for work.
For any of you who haven't seen this movie and don't know what the hell we're talking about,
then what the hell is wrong with you?
It's the 1982 John Carpenter's The Thing, and here's the trailer for those of you who don't know.
Here's our trailer.
Mayday. Mayday. That is the nearly over. This is U.S. Station 31. You read me? Found something in the ice. We need some help down here. Can anybody hear me? We found something.
Twelve men have just discovered something. For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside, where no one can see it, or hear it, or feel it.
I know I'm human. Some of you are still human. This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to, but it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's won.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? He can be one of those things!
Okay, so, like, this week we decided to review one of the older films. I mean, this was one I hadn't seen before, but I want to start off with Shannon, because you're a huge fan. What do you think of this movie?
Well, I love it. I'll just put that right on the table. I saw it for the first time last summer on my tiny little TV, and it was on a VHS tape, and it was almost completely black, and I still loved it. And then I saw it in the theater. There was a special screening. They had a 35mm print. One of the actors was there, and that was awesome. And then I watched it on my brand new TV recently, and I love it. It's a classic story. It's got great acting. It's scary. And it's got some blue in it. A lot of white.
Was there blue?
Yeah, there is. You don't see it so much in that one, but when you see it, if you see it on DVD, there's some shots and a lot of white too. So it's really gotten some high.
That would happen in Antarctica. Yeah.
It's true.
I have to say, personally, my favorite bit in the movie is a lot of the creature effects. Especially this one effect where the guy is like reaching into someone's mouth. Like that effect.
I actually didn't think that one was all that great, especially in comparison to the rest of the stuff that was in this movie. So,
what did you like about it?
What did I like about it? I loved the same thing that Andrew loved about it. The effects, the massive, you know, like head popping off and then walking around, and the dog coming out of a dog, and it was spectacularly gory, and I thought that was fantastic.
This movie is awesome.
And there the gong has been ringing. The official statement has been made. The movie is awesome. Everyone who hates this movie should just die.
Oh, honestly.
Well, for me, it was one of those ones that I literally hadn't seen until last year, and I was like, how come no one was like, you have to see this? Like, it was just on some random list.
Because everyone assumes that you've seen this movie already.
Yeah, well, I almost assumed that I had seen
it. But you see, it's kind of like last week we spoke about movies that people don't talk about, and we definitely didn't name a lot of older films because people don't talk about that because they're so old that they assume, as you said, yeah, they assume people have seen them if they're that good that people are still raving about it, kind of like Citizen Kane, which I still haven't seen.
Well, there's a huge spans of time between Citizen Kane and The Thing, though. Like,
yeah, I know, but
like, I named a bunch of classic horror films that you guys hadn't watched.
Yeah, true, but I still count like 80s films as somewhat old enough, especially with the amount of movies that come out every year, that if you just watch new films, you're never going to find the time to go back and see some of these older ones.
Yes, Alex Carrington.
Oh, come on, let's not do that here.
No, but it's for me, it is one of those that, like, you know, it came out around the same time as, well, a couple of years after Alien, and but before, like, Big Trouble in Little China. Like, so there's a lot of other
movie.
But that one's more trashy 80s.
Yeah, no, it is. But it's still, like, because it is around the same time. It also came out the same year as E.T., you know, so, and at that time, I was more likely to see something, and did see E.T., you know, and I wouldn't, it's not like I would have seen The Thing, so.
At that time, I wasn't alive yet.
Yeah, I didn't mean to really.
Wait, when was this made?
Stop reminding her that she's talking to children. We'd like her to come back. I'm not feel weird about it, okay?
From now on, I'm just going to randomly call Shannon.
We've been...
She's, I'll be on the show again.
This is madness. Back when I used to watch cable, when, you know, cable had use, like these older movies, I used to sit and watch a lot of these older movies because there was nothing else on. And I didn't realize at the time that I was watching The Thing is because I didn't watch it from the beginning. So it's like years later I realized that that was the name of the movie. And I always like this movie because when this movie came out, you just couldn't believe that they were able to do some of the things that they did with the monsters. It was spectacular. I mean, Star Wars, when was the first one?
77.
Right. So in like 5 years' time, they went from the most atrocious graphics imaginable.
But to think at the time, Star Wars graphics were the best graphics imaginable.
Exactly. I mean, like 5 years, Carpenter came in and
it's kind of looking back at everything, because, I mean, I remember when, for the David Finch episode, I ended up watching Alien 3, and some of those graphics are completely atrocious, but that movie won the Oscar for Best Visual Effects.
Yeah, but Oscars don't really
Yeah, but it's kind of a measure that you can kind of say. The effects... What?
For visual effects, the Oscars usually
choose the best one.
And it is something that would, like, it. You're not necessarily going to get a film that's nominated for other types of Oscars, but the visual effects ones are for stuff that's pretty forward thinking.
Yeah, and it's just to show what kind of stuff was possible and what looked amazing in that year. And I'm sure if I took myself back to 1992 and watched Alien 3, I would sit there and I'd be like, I've never seen this before, but I want to watch it over and over again just because of how pretty the alien looks.
I'm just talking about CG. I'm just glad that we're finally at the point where anything you can dream of, they can put in a movie and make it look realistic. They can, I mean, when you guys see The Watchmen, you'll understand.
I actually disagree with that, because for me, when I see something like this, and you know that it's not, it's obviously, because there's computers in the film, so it's obviously not a computer-generated effect, I find it more real and more scary than something that uses CG. Like, for me, it's CG. It's like, it's CG. It's like, whatever. I don't even register that it could be something scary. It's just fake.
Alright, you see, here's the thing with me when it comes to the CG argument. I agree with you, Shannon, when it comes to the older films when they couldn't use CG. And one of my favorites when I think about that has to be Terminator. And I think James Cameron in general, whenever he does a film, his effects fit the film perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can so easily look at Terminator and see that, like, half of the Terminator shots were a doll being lifted up by some dude, or, like, whenever they change from Arnold's face to a puppet's head or something, but it still looks amazing no matter what, and you accept it because it's an actual real effect.
Well, yeah, but also with the original Terminator, like, he is a robot.
Yeah.
Right. So he's not supposed to, like, it's not supposed to be perfect.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it's worked into the story, and that's one of the things I think that they do is that was part of older films, is that it's actually incorporated into the story, as opposed to, okay, we're going to make a story, and now there's no limits on visually what we can represent, what we can show you, so we can just go crazy.
Okay. So basically you're saying back when they took note of what their limitations were when it came to visually expressing themselves, rather than today where they just assume from the get-go they can do anything they want?
Yeah. Because I think sometimes, like, amazing amounts of creativity can come from limitations. Like, if you have the possibility to do anything, where do you even start? But if you know that you have, like, a location of what's supposed to be Antarctica and some kind of station and 9 people and snow, I think you can come up with something amazing.
And Milo from Saved by the Bell.
What?
What's
that talking about? What are you talking about?
He's sleepy.
Yeah, he's just going from teaching lots of teenagers how to do.
But what I'm like, the reason why I brought it up is that, like, as much as I'm pretty sure we all hated Peter Jackson's King Kong, there's no denying that.
I like the first half hour.
There's no denying that. All the creatures that he came up with in that movie, they looked and they behaved realistically, and there was no way for them to build the creatures. Like, Cameron could have done the thing because, you know, they were on the most part on a small scale. For Peter Jackson to build an actual giant gorilla and, you know, dinosaurs and all of that, it would have been, like, the movie would have cost trillions of dollars.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Right. So, like, there's things that, because even the Lord of the Rings, like, CG wasn't where it is now, and Lord of the Rings looks phenomenal because of the CG work that they were able to put in. And no, because the Watchmen, there's no way the Watchmen could have been realized without CG being where it is. There's just no, I don't see how they would have gotten any of those effects on screen without CG being where it is. I'm just glad that I'm able, because I'm sure years ahead, years in the future, when I look back and rewatch Watchmen, like, 5-10 years from now, I won't go, you know, that CG was terrible. Because the CG looks...
Honestly, you probably will.
No,
you probably will.
One of the things, though, and this doesn't happen, I don't know what will happen in terms of DVD, but with actual film, it degrades, and color film degrades. So, you know, like, when I saw this on a VHS tape, it didn't look as impressive as when I see it on DVD.
Right, and, like, Blu-ray, I've seen a couple of Blu-ray movies, and they're... it makes for a better movie. It looks absolutely phenomenal on Blu-ray. And, like, as the technology gets better, right, when we look back... Because when you look back, like, even at the... On Matrix, when you look at Matrix, like, when they do the bullet scene, it still looks awesome. You know, it's CG. Still, at no point you're going to look back.
I thought they set up a lot of cameras and they took a continuous shots in 360.
Yeah,
and then put them together.
Like the Ripley effects behind the shots.
Yeah, the Ripley effects. Yeah, right. Okay, that's true.
That still looks awesome.
No, you see, here's the thing, right? First of all, I don't think you're looking at it objectively. Because honestly, looking back at the Matrix, some of the graphics, and including that one specifically, do look not that good. However, when you keep it in context of the film, I still love it because it works as how it does.
And in
which
context
is why I
of
love
the
things
time.
Like the Terminator and the Thing. Keeping it in context of the time and the film, it works, and it's wonderful. But one thing that I also want to say, when it comes to like CG of today, I still don't think we're at that perfect point. We're close to it, but we're not at that perfect point where I can still be fooled. I think they can still fool me by a couple of tricks, like, for example, making sure that it's a dark scene, or like, or lowering the resolution or something, but it's still not picture perfect.
Wait till you see The Watchmen. when you see The Watchmen, come back and tell me that they're not at that point. Right? I'm playing video games now that are like this close. Like,
but this close to what? Like looking like it's actually real, yeah, or like looking like it's an animated film?
No, I have
like,
to say,
I was playing Metal Gear Solid 4 recently, and honestly, like there's one scene where he was fighting some dude that literally I had to pause the game and call in my brother and like start back over the scene and have him tell me that this, like, it was so close. It was so close that it felt like watching Ari. It felt like there was real people in the game.
Do you remember, like, I think it was as much as half a year ago, maybe more, when I showed you this post on this website where they asked you to guess which picture was the Gran real Turismo, car.
Right.
They had pictures of the new Gran Turismo and pictures of the cars and a picture of a real car.
An actual photo
and
of the car.
They asked you to guess which one was Gran Turismo, and no one could get more than 2 out of 10.
Right. Right. There's just... I mean, it is... It's getting... And trust me...
But that's a still picture is very different than...
As I said, there's still ways to trick you by changing up the setting and stuff. Right. And it's still not there.
But
yeah, I find it's usually the lighting that throws me off.
Right, that is usually where it gets... But when you see The Watchmen...
I've seen it, and I don't agree.
I think one thing that specifically made it so much better in the years is the use of... motion capture technology, because now not only do they have it looking good, but they actually have them moving
motion,
as if it is really a person or a dog or whatever the hell it is they're animating. They no longer have to go off of their minds, their imaginations, and then have taken.
But why don't they just film the person or the dog? Like, for me, I don't really get more from it if it makes it more real.
Well,
like, I think a film is an art form, and if you're just going to film something real, make a documentary. Like, I want something more than real.
I agree with you, but that also brings up another point as to when they should actually use these things. And that comes into when it fits the context. And I always believe that you should always film something because it fits the context or it fits the story. And not just because you do it because it looks cool or whatever.
George Lucas says hello.
So,
Chronicles of Narnia, the lion Aslan. I thought, you know, that he was a mechanical head and whatever. Like, they had a real lion walk about at first. And then they had like the mechanical head to do the talking. And it wasn't until I saw the DVD when they're like, it took like 4,000 computers, 9 million hours to generate each frame. And but I mean, like, for that, I'm like, yeah, you know, there probably was a way to work around it. But it looked, I mean, it fooled me into thinking that it was a real lion at some point. So.
Yeah. That one, for me, that worked, but I guess it feels a little different when the film is, like, fantasy-based, for some reason. Because
right. No, but putting in CG, in like when you film, like, real-world things, for no reason at all, where you could have hired an actor or got something, you know, physical to put... When you're just doing it for doing it's sake, then I don't... Like, I'm not really on board with that most of the time. Like, sometimes... You know, if there was just no way for you to get, you know, a certain angle or, you know, to put something in the background that isn't there or whatever, then, but if you can do it, then I think you should.
Okay, I think we've said as much as we really can on the topic. If you have a chance to see the thing, you should go out and watch it. I think that's basically what we're saying.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and if you don't have a chance, make sure you create an opportunity to see the thing. This movie is awesome, and that's the official statement of Your Name Movie Podcast. And that's episode 10. This is Andrew.
this is Douglas.
And this is Damien.
And I'd like to thank Shannon, the Movie Moxie, for coming on. Where can we find you and your stuff on the internet?
I am at moviemoxie.blogspot.com as well as twitter.com/moviemoxie, and it's been a pleasure to be here. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you can find me on gmanreviews.com as well as twitter.com/gmanreviews.
And my Twitter name is DJR Lost His Name.
Yeah, he's responsible for all of those decaffeination reports. If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com. You can also find all episodes on the site as well as on iTunes.
Wait, can you?
You can when I put them up.
You can find all of them on the site, really?
I was under the impression that there were only 8 on the site.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah.
A 9th and a 10th will magically appear one day. What else was I going to say? You can also find us on iTunes. You can search for G-Man Reviews and you'll find the podcast. I need to change the PHP file so it's say the Unnamed Movie Podcast. Other than that, you know, thanks for listening and tune in next week. We don't know what we'll be reviewing yet, but we'll let
probably
you know, hopefully.
QPQ.
Yeah, maybe Quid Pro Quo. We kind of need to watch that movie. Yeah, that's about it. Give us a review.
No, you know what we should review? Hedwig.
One of these weeks. Give us a review on iTunes. I need some help. I feel sad sometimes. Anyways, thanks for listening and good night.